This is Hollywood Outsider, our weekly movie and TV podcast with a new episode every Thursday. And this week, we're going to discuss upcoming releases, including Jack Ryan's Shadow Recruit, worst title ever, Ride Along and Devil's Due, our spoiler-free review of Paranormal Activity, The Marked Ones. From the outside in topic this week, predictions for 2014 and what our most anticipated movies this year are going to be. Latest in movie and TV news, including our own trivia segments. My name is Aaron Peterson. I'm extraordinarily happy to be back. These are my fellow hosts, Scotty Clark.
It has been a long time, man. How you doing?
It has been a very long time for us.
Did you miss me?
No, not really. Justin McCumber.
Why are you happy to be back where you are? You were just in warm Vegas.
I'm not
now
actually.
You're back in the center of hell.
Oh, let me tell you that in a minute. Brian Williams.
Hey, what's up, fellas?
It's great. And yes, I was in Vegas. We did not win the podcast awards. Thanks for everybody that voted.
Thanks to all those who didn't.
Yeah. No thanks to all those who didn't. But it was an honor to be a finalist, and I don't want to seem anything less than appreciative. But I came back to the Midwest, and let me tell you, I would rather just stay. There's a guy laying on the street who I know right now is happier than I am with the weather because it's Arctic temperatures. And he's laying there in the fetal position, clutching a bottle, and he's happier.
Dude, you missed it. You missed the really cold part, man. It was negative in the negative 20s.
Colder than Antarctica.
Is it really? Was it really?
It was.
They said that some.
That's just stupid.
That, was it in Georgia, Brian? The temperatures were colder in Georgia
than it was in
Alaska.
Wow.
Yeah.
How was that for you, Brian? Was that miserable for you guys? Because we're kind of used to it.
Way, way, way south Georgia. We reached, what was it, 20? It was, well, when I went to work the other morning, it was 20 degrees. With the wind chill factor, it was about 8 or 9 degrees. So I had to put on shoes. I couldn't wear flip-flops anymore for the day.
Had to put on them snow chains on the house.
It was brutal. Really? Yeah, I had to definitely put the winter tires on the trailer, for sure.
Justin, did it get cold in Dallas at all?
Oh, God, yeah. It was freezing cold out here. But, you know, even down south, we've got fireplaces, and we put ours to good use.
How cold is freezing cold?
It's like 55.
It got into the 20s, I think.
Oh, that's pretty cold.
Low 32?
Yeah, it was cold.
Scott, in Vegas, cold. It got down to like 40 at night, and there are people in winter coats.
Yeah.
I couldn't make that up if I tried. Really? Really? You need a winter coat?
Did you guys see that Jimmy Kimmel video that he did about how the people in L.A. are talking about how cold it was by them? Oh, you got to see it. It's great. It's these newscasters that are doing the news. The wind is blowing. You can see it blowing my hair, and it's just like – it's hilarious. Like, you guys have no idea what cold weather is like.
Everybody's probably sick of hearing about the weather. We don't want to drag it on. I want to know, since we're back, it's the first new show, except for the whole awards. Go check that out. That was last week's episode. Definitely see what we picked as the best of the best of the best of the best. What about resolutions? Anybody got one? Do they have anything they're trying to do this year? Except, well, Scott's got one. He wants to look, sexy naked?
Yeah, why not? Look good naked.
Oh, you need more than a year.
Started running again, started lifting, started eating right. So, want to get back down to 185.
Now, do you still do your fast food thing? Scott used to do a fast food thing where he cut out a fast food, was it one fast food restaurant every year or something?
Yeah, I basically kind of fell off the wagon on that the last three quarters of the year, so I basically started over. So, I am, this year, no McDonald's, no Wendy's, no Taco Bell, no.
Oh, no Taco Bell, shit, I'd starve.
Yeah, got a whole list of them that I just don't go to anymore.
Because you want to have a taco while you're running away from your girlfriend's dad or whatever that commercial is?
I don't know what the hell's going on with that commercial.
It just looks like the Crunchwrap Supreme in the shape of a triangle.
Yeah.
With nachos inside.
I don't understand the concept of this. Why do I need food?
Doesn't the commercial, they say when your parents come home early or something like that?
No, when her parents come home early.
I never could tell if he's running away from her dad or his own dad.
He's running away from her dad because he was, hurt.
Down south they kind of make it a little bit more family friendly by saying your dad or something like that. I don't, your parents. You know, we don't want to imply that you're a teenager having sex.
God either way.
Forbid, well, you made me snort, dude.
Either way, the whole concept is we're talking about it, and that's what the point of marketing is. So
that's true, because now I want to get one and run. And see if
it
I can eat
tasty.
It.
Does tasty.
Not unless I'm on
in
the go.
In a sickening kind of way.
Mm-hmm. It's a taco in a burrito shell. in a triangle. Why has it got to be a triangle? Why can't it be like a burrito shape?
It's got to be gimmicky, otherwise it won't sell.
Because that looks like almost like a giant Dorito, which is probably what they'll do.
Have you ever tried to run it with a burrito?
Your
hand naturally squeezes it and it squishes out both ends. If it's nice in a nice little pocket envelope looking shape thing, doesn't happen.
You really think that's going to solve the problem of running with a taco?
Well, first off, why am I running?
Yeah.
Are there zombies behind me?
Oh, Taco Bell, you're so wacky.
My resolution is to try and stop being so quick to anger.
Good luck with that.
I am making that attempt. Every time I get in my car, it takes about 10 seconds before I become that angry driver, yelling at people, scowling, and I'm tired of being that guy. So anytime I'm like behind the wheel or I'm somewhere and I get angry, I just try and count to 5 or 10 or whatever I need. I don't need to, you know, carry around anger because of other people. So let it go. We'll see how. Ask me in December how that's going.
Hopefully,
I will be much more tranquil.
I'm going to ask you next week how it's going.
Check in weekly. We'll see how I'm doing.
Brian, what about you? You don't have one?
He's perfect.
No, I don't mess with that bullshit.
Brian's like, if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
You can't fix perfection.
Touche, sir.
You know, I know the New Year's a kind of a starting over point for a lot of people, and that's great and everything, but I just, you know, if it's that important to you, you probably should have started it in November, not January.
Well, all right. How about you work on positivity for the new year? Let's work on that one.
No, I'm positive. I'm positive. I don't need to make lies to myself just because it's January 1st. Fuck that. If I want to get healthy, I'll get healthy. Whether it's July, whether it's January, whether it's November, I'm good.
All right.
See, this is what we're doing instead of talking about movies like American Hustle. Anyway, let's move on.
Motivational speaking.
Right.
How's that anger coming, by the way?
Fuck.
Is it working for you?
It took 45 seconds.
Michael Bay walked out of CES. I don't know if you guys saw it. I really hope you watched it because it is classic.
What's funny is that everybody's calling it a meltdown. I wouldn't call that a meltdown. I would call that an awkward, I don't know what to do and leaving the stage.
I would call it really...
But that doesn't get clicks.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
And it looks tacky. It does look tacky.
Oh, it was tacky. The guy was like, okay.
He made it more awkward than Michael Bay did.
He did, yeah.
He just kind of kept going, like, thank you, Michael Bay. Thank you, Michael Bay. That's Michael Bay, everybody. Thank you, Michael Bay.
Well, I don't think it's
like,
clear.
Michael Bay's been off the stage for a minute and a half. Why are you still addressing Michael? You know, Michael Bay, for God's sakes.
Well,
everybody knows it's a clusterfuck. Just move on, you know.
So for those that have no idea what we're talking about, CES is a big entertainment expo out in Vegas that basically shows new technology. And Michael Bay
Consumer
was on stage.
Consumer Electronics Show.
Right. And Michael Bay was on stage showing, talking about one of the new televisions, which is the Curve. And apparently the teleprompter went off as soon as he got up on stage.
He probably thought it was going to explode because that's what happens.
That's what happens. So rather than making his way through it and making something up and ad-libbing it, he just said, I'm sorry, and walked off the stage. That's pretty much what happened, and it was kind of funny.
It's fantastic. I loved it. I'm sorry. It's funny. It's funny. You definitely find the video and watch it because there's a link on our Facebook page. Definitely go watch it. It's worth checking out. Also, real big news, Paul Blart Mall Cop is getting a sequel. They've locked in a director, and Kevin James is going to return, and I really don't have anything else to add to that. Anybody? Anybody care?
I didn't
Blart Harder?
Blart Harder.
I didn't see the first
Blart
one.
Blart with a vengeance?
Was it even funny? I didn't even
Blart another day?
Ooh. It was funny in a Kevin James movie kind of way. So take
so
from that.
Not really all that
did it do well?
Yeah, it was a huge hit, actually.
Well, that's
his biggest hit.
Well, it takes $15 to make that shit.
Yeah.
And he gets paid $15 million every time one of those things come out.
Please don't say that.
It's true. Brian, who won our Hollywood Outsider Fantasy Football?
Pretty competitive league here, although you and I pretty much trailed off pretty quickly. the last probably half of the season. So the winner in our Hose Friend and Family League was Don Munoz. So he basically wins a – he gets to – what is it, do a movie review of his choice?
Yes, he does. Yep.
Sometime in the near future. All right. So Aaron will be in touch with you real soon. So congratulations to Don. I'm a pretty sore loser. If so. But we suck. Me, in fairness, you and I both, who do usually do fairly well in our fantasy leagues, Aaron, we usually do fairly well, and we did not represent that at all in this league. So.
We did not. You beat some world travelers. Brian and I know what we're doing. You know what I'm saying? So kudos to you, sir. And to everybody else, everybody else that played, good job. But there can only be one winner, just like Highlander. All right, well, let's go to movie news. Finally, I know some of you are going, "Are you guys talking about movies this week?" Hey, it's been a while.
Nope,
it's been a while.
It's been a while.
Paul Walker is going to live, at least in Fast and Furious 7, as they finally decided to keep his part in the movie and quote unquote retire Brian O'Connor as a character. Do you think that's the right move, Scott?
Absolutely. It's way more tasteful than killing him off in the film. I think that would be horrible.
In a horrible car crash? That would be bad.
Yeah. Oh, man. It will be a little strange in the movie to just be like, well, he retired. Because everyone's going to kind of be looking for that. And it's, people are going to focus so much on that portion of the film. How do you write that and make it seem plausible? Like,
oh, I totally think they can do it easily.
Without ever seeing the character?
No, just, he shot half of his role. You just got to cycle through what there is, and I'm sure there's all the past movies. They can put the pieces together to make sense.
Oh, I see what you're saying. I thought it was more or less so they're not scrapping what they've done so far.
No, he's still going to be in the movie. They're just going to his character, because of the events of the film, is going to retire.
Mm.
They can do some pretty good shit with editing.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Absolutely. Well, hell, remember Gladiator? They had, what, was it Laurence Olivier, whoever it was, and he was dead, and they shot his role.
Omar Sharif.
Was it Omar Sharif? Whoever it was. One of the dead guys. Yeah. He was there, and they shot him. They put him in the movie, and he wasn't even alive.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
I did not know that.
And then there's all sorts of cut footage, probably stuff from maybe the previous films that was on the cutting room floor that with, you know, a little computer manipulation here and there that could be used.
Absolutely. It's. You guys agree that it's the right move?
I think it's the right. Yeah, I think it's the right move. I just hate that. Well, I know what's going to happen. I just wish they kind of would have said, just so you know, we're not killing him off. We're doing something else.
Yeah.
And then kind of leave a little, because you know now it's just, all right, you know it's, you just kind of know what's coming. I would like to have a little bit more of a surprise.
You have no idea how it's going to happen. I mean, I think they just wanted to calm people's fears and say, look, he's not going to die in the movie. Because that would, I think, turn a lot of people off if they thought there was even a chance.
Well, what other options are there, really? It's either kill him off or have him retire or drop the film or scrap the film and start from scratch.
Yeah, no, it all makes sense.
You know what I'm saying?
I'm just saying that I think they did the right thing by saying what they were going to do. You don't know when or where it's going to happen.
Probably in the first half.
Wow, Scott.
Just couldn't resist, could you?
Scott's like, if I had to guess, I'm betting happens before.
It's not what? The end of the movie.
God, we're all going to hell. Paramount is so happy with Matt Reeves' cut of Dawn of the Planet of the Apes, which isn't even out yet. They have signed him on for Apes 3. Meanwhile, Bryan Singer, who keeps touting X-Men Apocalypse, is not yet attached to direct that one, even though he's, you know, like I said, the one out there pimping it. Do these early announcements do anything to encourage you, or do they keep you from your interest in seeing the sequels later down the road?
I guess it's nice to know if it is something that you like, the X-Men franchise, the Planet of the Apes franchise. I guess it's good to have that little security blanket, that little, like, okay, I know that they're still going to be making these movies, but I mean, I don't know, but I don't know why Bryan Singer keeps pimping it if he's not going to be definitely attached to it.
Right, and it's making me leery.
He's brown nosing is what he's doing.
I mean,
he's made, what, 25 X-Men movies? I don't think he's got to really pimp.
I think he's only made two, man. Two and then one that's not even out yet.
His hands are involved in every single one of them.
Oh. I guess
producing, directing, writing, you whatever. He's He's involved in every one of them. I guarantee you his name pops up in every single X-Men movie in some shape, form, or fashion. I don't know that for a fact, but I'm pretty sure.
Well, you know, with Matt Reeves, when a studio who obviously has seen early cuts of all the work that he's been doing is so encouraged by it that they actually sign him on to do the next one, yeah, it creates a lot of confidence in me, because if they're this pleased with it, then that's a good sign. As far as Bryan Singer goes, he may not be officially signed on to it, but who knows what sorts of understandings have been made verbally or, you know, what have you, between him and the studio heads. It could be all but signed on the dotted line. I was already in line to see Days of Future Past, so really this in no way makes me either more excited or less excited. I'm going to go see that movie no matter who's going to be doing Apocalypse, because fuck, who knows if Apocalypse will even be made.
That's true.
For me, who is attached to it is less important about what I actually wind up seeing in a trailer or things that I can actually physically see. Sure, knowing who somebody's in there is might get me a little bit more excited, but people have hits and misses. Mm-hmm. So that I'm not going to either throw out a film or automatically love it just because a person is attached to it.
If Chris Nolan got attached to it, you'd be all giddy.
Probably, but I mean, that's a rare anomaly. I haven't seen a Chris Nolan movie that I didn't really like a lot.
Oh, fair enough.
Right. But that's not everybody. And Bryan Singer, I think, has had some hits, had some misses. And if he's attached to it, that's fine. I doubt I'm not going to skip it just because he's attached to it. If the trailer looks good and I want to see the movie, I'm going to go see it.
What I don't like is I'm tired of them touting movies that are several years away from even really being written. I mean,
well, but it's all about creating that interest and then, you know, maintaining that kind of anticipation and excitement amongst the fans and the audience. We're geeks and we're easy to excite. And by throwing something out there like Apocalypse, you know, as soon as before he even sends it, he knows exactly what that's going to do. So these people, you know, have got so many movies to compete with. Mm-hmm. It doesn't surprise me that they're going to more and more lengths to create and continue interest in their franchises.
Yeah, getting people more excited about a movie that's not out yet is going to get them that much more excited for the one that's coming out sooner.
You think so? Why wouldn't they just focus on the one that's coming out now?
Because we're nerds. Like, if you the more you talk about it, the more people are thinking
about
it.
Because we're already kind of excited about it. Mm-hmm. Mm. So what's to really be gained by trying to create more interest? We're already interested. Mm-hmm. You got to go to that next one.
Frickin' nerds.
Nerds! Great, so now... So we keep going on this pattern, and then we're going to be teasing a movie that's four movies down the pipe with franchise. I mean, yeah. I don't know if I necessarily like this trend if we keep headed this way.
The comic book thing is going to dry up eventually. It's
you
got
keep
to.
Saying that, man. I haven't
keep saying that, you bastard. Shut up.
It's inevitable. I mean,
you say that, man, but it's been running for 15 years.
Yeah, the sun's going to explode. We're all going to just die. It's, you know, and the polar ice caps are going to melt. We're all going to be flooded, all that, you know, everything. You know, we're all going to hell in a handbasket, but don't rush it, you son of a bitch.
Well, because honestly, Superman will just spin around the world and it'll come back. I've seen it happen.
Yeah, and it will just fall over.
Mm-hmm. See, it happens. All right, let's talk about all this Wolf of Wall Street crap that's going around. Just real quick, because basically some people are saying that it takes a real-life douchebag and paints him into this positive picture. I'm not asking about the movie necessarily, because only I think Scott saw it. I don't really know if anybody else saw it. But does a filmmaker owe it to the audience when dealing with a real-life event to ensure that bad guys are dealt the justice they deserve?
This is something we talked about back when Pain and Gain was coming out, and you know, they started talking about how it's based on a true story, and you know, while in the movie these guys look funny and everything kind of looks a bit light, the things these guys really did are pretty fucking heinous, and so is it okay that a movie puts across real life a-holes in a light that's not showing just how horrible they are. But this isn't anything new to Hollywood. I mean, you watch a movie like Goodfellas, okay? As bad as you know, Henry Hill and his I don't know what friends or partners were shown in that film, I'm pretty well sure they were. It was even worse in real life. No movie I think is really ever going to show just how bad these kinds of people could be, because then I don't think anybody would see it. I don't think people are really interested in going into a movie and just being bludgeoned with the brutality of some of these people's lives. The Wolf of Wall Street's a little bit different because it's not so much about physical violence as it is about the moral reprehension of what these guys did, and the laws that they broke to do it. I honestly don't think that it's beholden on a director or an actor or a writer to have to somehow show the true heinousness of who real life people are in the art they're creating about them. I go into a movie expecting all sorts of liberties are going to be taken. I want to be entertained, and sometimes real life ain't that entertaining. So if you're going to have to change things up a little bit, add a little something to make it a palatable experience, then I'm okay with doing that. If I want the real, real story, then I'll go read a true accounting of it. That's not what I go to the movie for.
Justin, did you see the movie?
I haven't yet, but I've heard nothing but wonderful things.
This topic confuses me because movies like Goodfellas, where you have people that are earning all this money illegally and they're living in excess with all this money, the way that they live in excess in those movies is fun.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not going to have time to review this whole movie, but in that movie, it's not painted as a fun time. It's painted as excess to the point of making you feel like you need to take a bath afterwards. Mm-hmm. I mean, and I'm not saying that's anything to do with the quality of the movie, but that's the difference between Wolf of Wall Street and a Goodfellas or a Departed. Like, you just feel like this guy is a horrible human being that you don't feel like cheering for. And I think that's the problem that these people are having for this, is that people are cheering for him despite that. Because he's a despicable human being, and people are like kind of applauding. Like, yeah, this guy's a good guy.
Is that because of Leo DiCaprio's performance? Is that why?
Possibly. And I think that the bigger question is, would you do the same thing if you were put in that position? If you had all that money, would you live to that point of excess? I mean, and it's easy for people like us to say, no, we're not going to. I would never do that.
But no, I totally think you would. Oh, yeah.
But when, you know, it's a different story once you have that money and you have that power and that ability to do all those things that those of us in the middle or lower classes consider to be heinous. And to them, it became a normal thing. I think the movie itself is more of a psychological look at people. I've actually done some reading on it. It's really interesting. As far as, does a filmmaker owe it to its audience to give us an ending to a way of the guy getting his comeuppance or something? Mm-hmm. Come on. That's like asking a painter, does he owe it to his audience to use a certain type, to draw a certain type of picture, or a musician to write a certain kind of song because that's what they want? It's art. You do what you want when you make art. It's not up to the audience to decide what it is. If you don't like it, don't pay to go see it. Don't support it.
Wow. I don't know. Justin, I don't know who had a better point. Both of you.
Well, no, I kind of think we both, in the end, had the same point. It's a work of art. It's a work of fiction. No matter how true to the actual events you want to make it, there are still going to be fictional elements of it. It is not true life. So don't go into it expecting it to be or demanding that it be true to life. It's just, it's not going to be that way.
Mm-hmm. Can I ask one quick question? Does Leo get a lot of like hookers and blow in the movie?
Yeah.
And I'm fine with him getting away. All right. Filming starts soon on Batman versus Superman, and so far we know we've got Batman, Superman, Wonder Woman, Lex Luthor, and rumor has it potentially another villain. My question for you guys is this. In a movie like this, when is it too much? Like, when are we getting to the point of that's too much?
It seems like I give this answer a lot when you ask questions like this, but it really depends. It depends on what happens with the final product. Look at Spider-Man 3. That was kind of a train wreck when it came to – there was just too much
outside
stuff going
of emo
on.
Dancing.
Outside of emo dancing, there were two – there was really only two villains in that, right? It was
I think there was 47 villains, exactly. Yeah.
You had Venom and you had the Sandman.
And every other Spider-Man villain ever created was in there too. And it was just hidden. You just get a look.
And that was,
they even
that
had
was...
villains from DC Comics.
Exactly.
I did. Bizarro, he was in there.
They were in the coffee shop.
Mr. Mixelplick, he was in there.
Ant-Man, was he in there? I even know.
Anyway, Marvel.
He doesn't know.
I don't know.
Oh.
I was just trying to come up with the most random weird one I could think
of. You can just kill a joke, can't you?
I try. So anyway, like Spider-Man 2 is coming up. Or excuse me, Incredible Spider-Man 2. And that's
Amazing got... Spider-Man 2.
Oh, jeez.
This is why you want it to die, because you don't know it.
The Amazing Fantastical Spider-Man.
Can't eat Justice League.
So it's got multiple villains in it again, and we all are kind of wondering if it's too much. But look at some other films outside of comic book films that have ensembles that work. I think it comes down to the writing. You know, as long as it's written correctly and done well. Look at Avengers, if you want to stay with comic book movies. Look how many heroes were in that movie, and he made it work. I think it comes down to the writing. You're not going to know it's too much until you see it, unfortunately.
Agreed. Does it make anybody else?
It is getting kind of dangerously close, though, to already being a Justice League movie just without the Justice League title.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
And who knows how many of these people are strictly cameos or just kind of brushed by quickly. Nothing says that all these people are going to be given long moments in the sun.
I personally think not many of this ilk have been tried and worked. I mean, you can Batman and Robin, Spider-Man 3, you can go through the gamut. When you have multiple villains, it rarely works. I would even dare say Batman Forever. Some people would challenge that one. I say go watch it again. See if you still
I agree with you.
But when it comes to this, you really have to have a filmmaker that is gifted with ensembles and knows how to approach ensemble filmmaking. You know, somebody like Scorsese we're talking about, and that's a totally different genre kind of film, but he knows how to handle an ensemble, right? Because he obviously deals with a lot of characters. But there's some directors who just aren't good at it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Josh Whedon. Joss Whedon has obviously been dealing with ensembles for years. Perfect fit for a movie like The Avengers. Plus, he's worked in the comic book area for a long time. Zack Snyder, I don't know if he has it. I mean, he did do Watchmen, and I think he did a very admirable job with Watchmen. So he can get kind of the ensemble feel, but I think that was more of a stylized kind of film. And it wasn't so much about the ensemble as it was the look of it. And the blue dick. Yeah. The giant blue dong. Yeah. There's no blue.
I think he's good with ensembles. I'm one of the few people on the planet that actually really liked Sucker Punch.
I liked it.
And I loved Sucker Punch. And it has, you know, quite a number of characters. Yeah, and quite a number of bad guys. So between Sucker Punch and in 300, he had. Well, he didn't give all 300 of them screen time, but he had quite a few characters that he was dealing with in that film. And like I said, Watchmen also had a large number of characters. So I think he can handle an ensemble, you know, maybe not as well as a Bryan Singer can, but, you know, just let the guy work. I stand by Man of Steel being one of my favorite films of the year, and incredibly well done. I look forward to seeing what he does with that universe being broadened.
I think it was on Facebook the other day, because I just watched Man of Steel again, and the music is all loud thumping because it's Hans Zimmer.
I love it.
And Batman, very similar, just a much, much different kind of beat. I'm wondering, if he does a score for a Batman versus Superman movie, does he have to import bigger drums? I mean, how does that work exactly? Because at some point, your earlobes have to explode for him to get it done.
I tell you, I listen to both scores for those films whenever I'm working at my computer, and I love it.
A Dark Knight is probably one of my favorite film scores in the last 10 years, honestly.
Listen to the Man of Steel score without the film, just whether you're driving somewhere or sitting at home. Give it a listen just by itself, and if you still don't like it, then there's, I guess, not much more I could say. But I think that some of the film score, especially in those moments where it gets really bombastic, it's also when shit's blowing up and things are exploding and they're fighting. Take that away and just listen. And I think it's a really well done score. And there's much more of a theme in it than I first thought when I first saw the film. listen to the score a few times, and yeah, there's definitely a theme, a Superman theme that he's developed and uses in the film.
It could be, you know, like the mix too.
Could be.
Telling you, drums.
Could be your shitty speakers.
Batman vs. Superman is going to be the loudest scored film in the history of films.
Welcome to Brian's Trailer Park. All right, Marshmallows, we have a full trailer for the darling of Kickstarter movies. Veronica has given up her investigative ways and gone home for her high school reunion. When her ex-boyfriend Logan calls needing her help, she's compelled to clear his name by, or clearing his name of murdering his girlfriend, which he claims he's falsely accused.
Don't they all?
I don't know. I never watched the show. You guys are big fans of it, and I think it's a great story that they, you know, with the whole Kickstarter thing, trying to get this, you know, raise the money for this, and they raised over what, $5.5 million for it. So, what'd you guys think about it?
I'm most interested in what you and Scott think about it, since you didn't watch the show.
My honest opinion, I couldn't give two shits about this movie.
What about one shit? Would one shit get you?
One shit, maybe.
How about a shart? Can you get a shart for it?
I'll give a shart. Yeah, I'll give a shart.
Is that our new rating system?
Yeah.
Like I said, I give all the credit in the world to, you know, to Kristen Bell and everybody that was involved with the Kickstarter thing. I think this is a fantastic thing because as a fan of the show Jericho, they had kind of a similar story where. After season one, it was the people that liked it loved it. And, you know, they really protested and got all this, you know, after it was canceled, they got it back on the air for unfortunately only one more season and whatever. So, but with the, you know, with this kind of the same thing, this is, you know, they drummed up that interest, they got the money, they got the backing, and it's a great story. The merits of the trailer itself, there's no way I'm paying money to go see this. I mean, I'm sure it's because to me, it's a story that you have to know the characters to really appreciate her running into her ex-boyfriend or him needing her help and that kind of stuff. And to me, that just, I don't feel that connection there of going, oh my God, is she going, you know, is he really guilty? Is he not? And I just don't care.
And the
there's so many other movies coming out this year. Of course, we'll be talking about that later. Mm-hmm. But there's so many movies coming out this year that there's no way I'm spending money on this one.
And the trailer really does make you feel kind of left out. As a person who's never
so
even...
That's what I was wondering, because Justin and I both have seen it, so it's kind of mm-hmm. hard to remove ourselves.
I mean, and that's my fault for never having watched the show, but it's
yeah,
hard to...
Yeah, it's your fault.
It's damn
hard.
Right it is.
It's hard. A fantastic fault, show.
Oh, no, don't listen to Justin. Justin, back off.
Oh, it's such a fantastic fault. Show, and you're all losers for not having seen it.
It's hard to get excited.
Maybe if you tried a little harder at life.
Yeah, a little harder, Scotty.
I started Buffy this week. It's hard to get excited about a movie based on a television series that you've never seen. Now, I will say that seeing the trailer kind of got me interested in seeing what this show was about and maybe giving it a shot. How many seasons is it?
Just three.
Three?
Mm-hmm.
But I kind of wish that the trailer would have given you a little bit of info about what the show really was about. And I feel like
do
I
do you
didn't
feel
get
like
that.
Take away from the fact that you know that there's a show mm-hmm. behind it, because you never saw it. Did the trailer make you want to see the movie at all?
It made me want to see Kristen Bell.
Touché.
I mean,
sure did.
Outside of being really pretty, I like her on screen. I mean, I like her acting. But I mean, nothing
yeah,
about the story.
I'll watch her on Netflix on that, or Showtime or whatever.
You know? Right, right.
Oh yeah, she's on that show.
House of
what
Lies.
Is it?
House of
yeah,
Lies?
House of Lies or something.
House of
yeah.
Lies.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But yeah, I mean, I would like to check it out, but not without checking out the TV show first. The production, everything looks really good. Obviously, they got plenty of money and that kind of thing. But nothing about the story stream that I have to go see this. And I think me not seeing the television show is the reason for that.
Well, I think Justin and I can both agree wholeheartedly we'll be there day one.
Oh, fuck yes.
I wish we could go see it together, honestly.
Right now.
Yeah.
Because I love that they changed it. Because, you know, when the show ended, they were trying to bring it back, but they were going to move the timeline ahead a little bit to where she's in the FBI. And, you know, going from a private investigator into a federal investigation kind of job makes perfect sense. But instead, they kind of flip it around and make her into this attorney, which her skills work for. And I'm glad they didn't do what we all would have predicted they would have done, but instead kind of threw in some curveballs. So it gives me confidence that there will also be other elements of the movie that we think we could probably predict how it's going to go, and it's not. I think there's going to be a lot of surprises, especially, you know, even for people who've seen the show.
Hmm. What else we got, Brian? Because Justin and I are already buying our tickets.
Yeah, I'm waiting for my digital download.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'll wait for Netflix. Veronica Mars opens March 14th later on this year. Next, a little bit of something that I'm more in tune with here. From director Ivan Reitman comes a sports drama revolving around the NFL draft. Kevin Costner plays the general manager of the Cleveland Browns, and they have the first pick in the upcoming NFL draft. Now, Kevin Costner, to me, is what Dennis Quaid is to Aaron, the Wachowskis are to Justin, and what ballerina tights are to Sky. So I am definitely watching this on April 11th. So who's going to go see this one with me?
I will be there for sure. If it worked for Moneyball, I don't see why it wouldn't work for football.
It's sports plus Kevin Costner. It's an instant sale. Honestly, that's his genre. I think he's the only one that does them anymore.
No.
Dennis Quaid.
Interest.
None? Well, that's because you don't like football, though.
Well, it's not that I don't like football. I'm not a big sports movie guy. And when I saw the trailer for this, all I kept thinking was Jerry Maguire already kind of did this. I'm so uninterested.
Jerry Maguire is more about the individual player. This is about
But it's sports. About that guy who is taking a risk with his career in sports and hoping to God that it works out, which is the gist of Jerry Maguire. Even though one's an agent and the other one's the general manager.
You could just about not watch any science fiction movie for the rest of your life.
But I like sci-fi. I'm not a big sports guy.
so you're just biased.
No. If he was drafting an interstellar football league, then bam.
You're a sportsist. You just hate all sports. If it's got to do with athleticism, you just hate it.
Unless it's a comedy.
Because he thinks working out is funny.
Because working out's funny.
Here's the only thing that
they have to play Wild Things.
Here's the only thing that sours me to this movie a little bit, and that's when I went into Moneyball, which is a very similar movie, but it's about baseball. I know very little about baseball and which teams are really good and mm-hmm. any of their history. I know a little bit about the Cleveland Browns, and I know that movie can't end really happy.
Touché, Scott. They can't end a winning team, is what you're saying.
Right.
They're not going to the Super Bowl? Hey. Is that what you're telling me?
Hey, it is Hollywood. Anything can happen.
Yeah, didn't you just like say that a painter and art and all kinds of other shit, same concept?
That's true, but I think
you shut up, painter, art. This is art.
I'm not saying that you're twisting my words there. If that's the way the movie ended, I'd be fine with it. But if they're going to base it on reality, the Browns haven't been really good in the past quite a while, so... I don't know. I think the cast looked really good, too. Although Kevin Costner is playing Kevin Costner, Jennifer Garner looked really, really good.
She looks attractive?
No, she looked like she would – you know how in Any Given Sunday, Cameron Diaz was just over the top and I just didn't buy it?
Yes, absolutely.
This looks like she's trying to play that role but more toned down and more to her level. And that makes me want to see it even more.
I'm glad you mentioned Any Given Sunday because that had Dennis Quaid. Brian, you want to wrap it up?
Well, that was a good movie. I'll give that movie props.
Oh, that was. Jamie Foxx was great in that movie.
Good deal. So watch these trailers and those from recent episodes at thehollywoodoutsider.com. If you got any thoughts or topic ideas you want to holler at us about, reach us on Twitter at @H_Outsider. Go on to facebook.com/thehollywoodoutsider. You can also call us and text us and leave us a message at 818-81-I'm-A-Ho. That's 818-814-6246. And of course, there's always email, which you can reach us at feedback@thehollywoodoutsider.com.
All right. Now let's go to the big screen and review any new releases. And the first one up is Paranormal Activity, The Marked Ones. Scott and Justin saw it. Scott, what is it about?
Well, Paranormal Activity is the fifth Paranormal Activity movie, but it's not to be confused with Paranormal Activity 5, which is coming out later this year. It is actually kind of a side shoot story. It
it's
follows 4.5.
A guy.
What's that?
Yeah. It's like 4.5.
It's 4.5.
5.
Yeah.
4 version 2.0.
Jesse is the main character. He's an 18-year-old guy who lives with his family. A mysterious neighbor dies unexpectedly, and he begins to experience a number of disturbing and unexplainable things that those of us who have seen the previous four films are more prepared for than he is. He and two of his friends begin to investigate and soon discover that Jesse has been marked for possession by a demonic entity of some kind. It appears he doesn't have much time before he loses it completely. So the trio basically do what they can to learn all they can and try to thwart the impending evil. Now, Justin, this was a little, kind of, like we said, an offshoot from the original ones. The story had some interesting twists at the end that I appreciated, but what did you think of the overall story?
I've read some reviews where some people seem to feel like this is one of the best Paranormal Activities yet. I really had to disagree. I think it's my least favorite of all the Paranormal Activity movies. They made a lot of changes to the style of this film as compared to the first four. And I think that it lost a lot for me because I wasn't seeing it on Halloween. I wasn't seeing it with a theater full of people, all of us waiting for those scare moments. There were only two other people in the theater when I saw it. And I got to tell you, nobody was crying out. There was no real tension developing. Other than some broadening of the mythology that I really do appreciate as far as the series goes, I like that I now better understand who certain people and groups are and what certain things mean. Mm-hmm. As a film all on its own, I found it kind of lackluster.
I enjoyed it slightly more than you did, I think. I enjoyed the twists at the end that I didn't see coming, the ties, that kind of thing were interesting. I do agree that part of the charm is there, and we'll get into that a little bit in production later, but the simplicity of the horror is kind of lacking. It's more playing on some traditional horror tropes, but I still think I liked it better than 4. Four was kind of a disappointment, even though that did that the old school way. I think they tried a little bit too hard on that one. I still found this one really interesting. Now, the acting, though, you're not going to recognize anybody in this film. I mean,
does anybody ever really act in these movies?
There was only one person I recognized, and that was his grandmother.
Oh, okay.
And I've seen her in like a couple of different TV shows.
Now, I found each of the performances to be pretty believable. All three of the main characters seem to act the way that most of us would outside of actually holding the camera when this stuff is happening. I still to this day don't understand that.
I would run screaming like a bitch.
Even if you're holding the camera, you're going to like put it on your side and run, you know, have your hand moving and stuff.
Cameras are expensive.
Well, yeah.
Well, now your phone does all that shit. Why are you carrying this fancy hardware around? Use your phone.
Justin, what did you think of the acting?
Well, I thought the acting was pretty good. I mean, all these kids were believable, and most of the actors in this were, you know, your 18 to 20-year-old looking people. And I enjoyed them all. They were believable. Their reactions, seemed logical as far as the story went. I didn't have any problems with that. I especially liked the grandmother and, you know, what she offered. Acting-wise, certainly, you know, no Academy Awards here, but nobody that felt out of place or out of character or doing something that kind of brought me out of the film.
Mm-hmm. To come back to the production a little bit, the Paranormal Activity movies are known for their cheap production values that draw in large profits. And I think you and I both agree that that's actually to the film's credit because the simplicity of it really kind of is what drew us to it originally and really scared the bejesus out of both of us. This one seemed to have a little bit more money in the special effects department than the previous films. Do you think this is a good thing or a bad thing for you?
I could really go either way. There were a couple of like special effects moments that I really thought were a little cheesy that they went a little too overboard with. But then there was one about the middle of the movie that really kind of blew me away. I liked the look of it and the way the effect really... impact of the movie and these characters. But for me, in the other four movies, one of its conventions is that cameras are going to be set up mm-hmm. in specific locations. And then you're going to have these moments where, especially at night, where time is going to go by really quick and then it stops. And that lets you know, okay, something is going to happen. And even if what happens is small, in your mind, you're constantly waiting for it to happen, so that tension and drama really builds up in you. In this movie, they didn't have that. Almost all of it was filmed using this Go camera, which has really gotten popular lately because they're high def, but they're these cameras that people can just strap on their heads and then, you know, boom, go skateboarding, go biking, go doing whatever, and you get these really intense kind of first person movies.
Right, a laundry basket down the stairs.
Right. And so, you know, this had that, but it had none of that cameras being set up, mm-hmm. and none of that time passing quickly while you waited for something to happen. It was a bit more of a traditional kind of found narrative film. Mm-hmm. And so I felt like it lost a little bit. There weren't any moments there weren't enough moments for me where I felt tension in that drama building. Mm-hmm. So, on the whole, it was a different film than the others, and I didn't think it delivered the scares as much as the others. Even four, I felt, had better scares.
I pretty much agree with you. One of the things I did like with the production where they kept with the simplicity was, in the previous forms, there was always some form of technology that they used to scare you, and they mm-hmm. kept, they kind of seemed to increasingly go to more modern things. Like in the last one, they used the Kinect sensor. And this one, they actually kind of went back a step in using an old toy from the 80s to affect
Simon.
That really, really was pretty creepy, if you can imagine that being creepy, but it worked out really well. So final verdict, Justin, if $10 were the full price of admission, what would you give it?
I'm going to give it a generous 6.
Okay.
It had some scares, and it wasn't a bad film. It just wasn't what I had hoped that it could really be. So yeah, a 6, and I feel like that's being nice.
And I gave it a 7 out of 10, so.
All right, and Justin, you also saw Contracted, which I assume you've also had other issues with, but tell me about Contracted.
No, this is not the story of me being in the hospital over Christmas. It's an independent horror film, directed and written by Eric England. All the actors and actresses in it are people you've really never seen before. But it's really an interesting film, and I watched it on iTunes. They have it available for rent, and it's about this young woman who's got some problems in her life, and she's trying to make something of herself, but she's got some issues that are making it difficult. But she ends up just having mindless sex with a guy she doesn't know. And from that, you get the rest of this movie, which is her slowly becoming, and you could tell from the trailers and the poster, she's becoming a zombie, but it's watching her descent.
It's like a zombie STD.
It's a zombie STD.
Holy shit. Yeah. They're making that shit worse and worse and worse. I don't even want to have sex anymore.
Well, and when you see, the movie starts off with the guy that who gave it to her. You see kind of how he got it. It is gross. It is so gross. But he ends up passing it to her, and she slowly changes physically and mentally. You could see her descend into this zombie nature, and it's got some decent scares in it, but it's really the lead actress's performance, Najara Townsend. I've never seen her before. I hope I see her again, because she did a really good job of showing someone just slowly going crazy and not understanding why, and having her friends and her family kind of turn on her. It's really, really well done. And if you're a horror fan or a zombie movie fan, I really highly recommend. I don't know if it's available anywhere else, but it is on iTunes. I do think, yeah, it is on Amazon's Instant Watch. So give it a look. It's a pretty interesting film. And, you know, 1 out of 10, I'd definitely give it a solid 7.5, maybe even an 8.
Wow.
They work with a very low budget, but that's to its credit, and it's all in the makeup effects. Really well done. Creepy as fuck.
That's Contracted.
contracted, yes.
Thanks for making me not want to have sex again.
Oh, man, you will not want to stick nothing nowhere after you see what happens to her.
You'd be amazed how low my standards can go, sir. Yeah. So let me ask you, because you wanted to review it, honestly, it came out too long ago, but why do you think American Hustle is an important movie?
For me, the entire reason American Hustle works and I think is getting the accolades that it's getting is entirely because of Christian Bale and Jennifer Lawrence. All the other actors involved are just fine. In fact, I think Jeremy Renner kind of surprised me with just how un-Jeremy Renner he was in that film. But it's Christian Bale and it's Jennifer Lawrence who play these really just kind of, especially Jennifer Lawrence, fucked up people. Mm-hmm. And their journey through the film. I don't think it's an incredibly well-written movie, and I don't think there's a lot of style to the movie, but their performances alone elevate American Hustle to a level that without them, I don't think it ever would have attained. Russell is a great director, and he got two really solid, amazing mm-hmm. performances out of them. And I think Jennifer Lawrence is well on her way to an outstanding career.
She's going to have a Meryl Streep career, watch.
Oh, yes.
With more accolades. Mm-hmm. And honestly, she reminded me of a woman I dated. That was even scarier.
I'm she like, is cray-cray. Straight up effed up.
It is one of those movies where it's getting, you know, it's on a ton of people's best of lists. It's honestly what I would say. Average movie with extraordinary performances.
Yeah, I mean, it's a solid maybe 8, but it's given 2 or 3 points just because of those two.
And also, Scott reviewed Walter Mitty. It's on the website, so be sure and check it out. He really, really liked that one.
Oh, please see that movie. It's so good.
Yeah.
So is it the Oscar bait that I'm expecting it to be, or is it actually good?
I loved it. It felt like Oscar bait a little bit, but I connected to that character a lot more than I even expected to, and I expected to connect to him a lot, if that makes sense.
All right. Okay.
I really enjoyed it, too. I don't know if it's quite Oscar bait, but I thought it was really good, and especially the ending is what really makes it pay off.
Yeah, it really does.
Which, all especially right. Brian, because he wasn't even looking forward to it, so.
No, I was really surprised. I walked away from that one very pleased, very pleased.
Do not understand the poor reviews for that one.
Sometimes it happens, man. Mm-hmm. Sometimes people see it, just like Justin said, Oscar bait, and they kind of turn off against
it. I think it got over-marketed a little too, honestly.
I just thought the marketing was horrible, but we've talked about that. Let's move on. Box office, Frozen, still number one, or bounced back to number one, I'm sorry, with $19.5 million for a $296 million total. It's already crossed $300 million. It is the biggest animated cartoon, I think, since Lion King, if I'm not mistaken. Wow. Yeah. Did not see that coming. I mean, it was a good movie, but I wasn't like, holy shit, better than Lion King good. Paranormal Activity, The Marked Ones, $18.3 million. That's not bad, as the budget was only $5 million, but that's the lowest Paranormal Activity opening, I think, since the first
one. Well, it's January, dumbasses.
Yeah.
Bad time. Bad time to open it.
I didn't even know, honestly. We talk about it on the show every week.
I barely remembered it was opening.
Seriously. Mm-hmm. A friend called me up and said, hey, you want to go see it? And I said, oh, that's this weekend.
See what happens when we don't have a show for a week?
Yeah.
That's what happens. The Hobbit, The Desolation of Smaug, number 3, $15.6 million, $229 million. It's actually going to close a little shy of the last one, but it's still going to make close to $1 billion worldwide. I think Peter Jackson can rest assured that he will be open to making the next one longer. The Wolf of Wall Street, $13.2 million. $63.1 million total. It's holding up, but it's not getting as much play as they thought it would. American Hustle, $12.4 million for an $87.9 million total. That movie's easily going to coast over $100 million. That surprises, I think, just about everybody.
Where are your puns?
I
Nobody was warming back up to Frozen.
I didn't have time for puns this week. I don't know what to tell you. American Hustle should get an Oscar for the hair. By the way.
Oh, my God.
Some of the perms in that movie, they deserve their own award. They should create a special honorary Oscar for perms.
Can you say smug without sounding like...
Smug?
Nope,
it's like smug, but in a smug way. Smug.
All right, folks, we have got 4 films that we're going to be talking about today. They're all opening on January 17. The first one, the unfortunately titled Jack Ryan Shadow Recruit. Jack Ryan, as a young covert CIA analyst, uncovers a Russian plot to crash the U.S. economy with a terrorist attack. Now, this one is directed by Kenneth Branagh. It stars Chris Pine, Kevin Costner, Keira Knightley. Kenneth Branagh, of course, has cast himself in the film. It's got a good director. It's got a lot of good actors. It's based on a successful franchise. It's opening in January. Does this cause, or is this cause for concern? Should Jack Ryan stay in the shadows? Aaron, tell me.
A, title, dumb.
That's a video game title. That's not a movie title.
That's a video game title. It should honestly be a video game.
Just call it Jack Ryan and leave it at that.
Trailer looks ridiculously generic, but I think Chris Pine, I think he would be a very good Jack Ryan.
Agreed.
Kevin Costner looks good. I think he's kind of playing a villainous role, is what it seems like. He's playing the fence, you know, between good and evil.
That's what the trailer's showing. I'm not convinced that we're not being misdirected.
I hope we are. I like these kind of movies where they misdirect you and you really don't know what to think. This is one of those movies where I will give it a chance simply for the fact of the pedigree, because we're talking about Tom Clancy. We're talking about a character, Jack Ryan. I like that, and the actors involved. So the trailer does look generic. There's really no getting around it. It doesn't look like anything I haven't seen 1,000 times before,
yeah.
But I still want to see it.
I want to see this movie more because of what it is than what I saw in the trailer. You know, I love the Jack Ryan movies. Those are movies that I can pull out and watch those and feel like I get something fresh out of it. After multiple viewings, I like that character. I like the whole I'm an analyst versus a being in the field kind of thing. The acting, is anybody else distracted by Keira Knightley not having a British accent? Like, I don't think I've ever seen her do an American accent. It was totally distracting.
I don't think I have either.
She doesn't really do anything for me.
Domino, didn't she?
Oh, yeah.
I never saw that one.
She was great in Domino.
Yeah. I didn't like that movie.
What about you, Brian? You going to step into the dark to see this one?
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, I like Chris Pine, and of course, I've professed my love for Kevin Costner already, and I do enjoy the Jack Ryan movies. So, those three things combined, again, just to kind of echo Aaron's comments there, yeah, that's enough to get me to see it. And I also echo the fact that it does look like a cookie cutter. I mean, just kind of like, here's a formula, we're just going to roll with this and see what happens type of thing. So, I don't care. It's going to be enough to get me to go see it.
All right. Next up, if one found footage horror movie wasn't enough for you in January, well, folks, we have got two found footage horror movies. The second one, Devil's Due. Now, this is, of course, directed by people you never heard of, stars a bunch of people you never heard of. So there's no point in giving you all their names. After a mysterious lost night on their honeymoon, a newlywed couple finds themselves dealing with an earlier-than-planned pregnancy. While recording everything for posterity, the husband begins to notice odd behavior in his wife that they initially write off to nerves. But as the months pass, it becomes evident that the dark changes to her body and mind have a much more sinister origin. Folks, is this just Paranormal Activity meets Rosemary's Baby, or is this maybe perhaps a little more elevated than that? Scotty, you just saw one found footage horror film. Are you up for another?
These movies intrigue me. Obviously, I like the found footage formula, but I feel like this just can't be any good. I want to like it so bad, but I think this one has Devil Inside Syndrome, being in January, and I don't see it working. I want to, though.
All I keep thinking is, what a horrible husband. Because she's going through all these demonic things and he keeps videotaping it. It's put the camera down, man. I know we live in that kind of age where everybody has to have their camera and they got to take pictures and video everything. But seriously, when a baby's kicking and literally kicking people in the face through a woman's belly, you should put the camera down and go check on her.
Now, is that right, up angle AB to get that kind of kick through the womb?
So. I think so.
Dragon punch.
Wow.
I just envision this is kind of just about how every pregnancy goes down.
That was kind of my thought.
It looks like it's one of those that I have an interest in. I don't know if it's going to be enough for me to pay anywhere from $20 to $40 to go see this thing. So I will probably wait till Netflix. But it you know, to me, it just looks like one of those Netflix type of movies or cable movies that you kind of forget about was in the, and then you go, oh yeah, I kind of wanted to see that, and then you check it out later.
Fair enough.
All right. Fair enough.
So, oh, wait.
I mean, I'm interested in seeing The Devil's Due. I think I'm hoping that it will do, pardon the pun, what Paranormal Activity kind of didn't do for me. I'm like Scott. I like the found footage style. Good or bad, I'm still kind of interested. But yeah, I don't know. We'll have to see, but I am interested. All right. Blech. Moving on.
That was a whole lot of blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, that was a whole lot of third film on our list, The Nut Job. Okay, I can already hear the parents going, this was made for kids. Why are you crapping on it? We have discussed it many times.
I hate
our
children.
Opinion that we don't like children, and we don't like anything that will please them. So obviously that's a given.
Exactly. I hate candy too.
Damn kids. Really, this movie seems like nothing but an excuse for a series of ball jokes.
Okay.
Well, I didn't the know. Nut job. I mean,
wow.
How can you not get some ball jokes?
Can honestly, I just tell you, I didn't never thought of that.
I didn't either. I never once.
Well, now you won't be able to think of anything else. Surly, a curmudgeon independent squirrel, is banished from his park and forced to survive in the city. What?
I said balls.
Balls.
Sorry.
Yeah, him and his balls are banished. Lucky for him, he stumbles on the one thing that may be able to save his life and the rest of the park community as they gear up for winter. Murray's Nut Store.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the director is someone I've never heard of, Peter Lampinaitis, but you know the voice actors involved in this. It's a pretty stellar cast. Will Arnett, Brendan Fraser, Liam Neeson, Katherine Heigl, Maya Rudolph, Jeff Dunham, Stephen Lang. I mean, they're certainly not lacking for vocal talents, but every trailer I've seen for this just it leaves me wishing that I was watching Frozen again, mm-hmm. or Brave, or basically anything Disney and Pixar do, because this one's just not doing it for me either. You know, Brian, you're a bit of a nut job yourself. That was the best I could do. I'm sorry. What do you think of this one?
Yeah, not exactly high on my most anticipated list.
Mm-mm.
Just not in my wheelhouse. I just don't really know how else to explain it.
This is the kind of movie that makes people wish they would have gotten abortions. I'm just saying.
It's the kind of movie that makes them wish they were aborted.
I wish we could go back that far.
What do you mean? You go into the theater because your kid wants to see it, and then the whole time you're going, God, I wish I'd aborted you.
Yeah, I wish I would have paid the $250.
So I wouldn't have even had you.
I wish I would have paid the $250.
This movie just falls under the category of movies I'd go see if I had a niece or nephew, but I won't see it for any other reason.
But you don't have one, so you don't want to see it.
Right.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, no interest. I love animation. I'm a big fan of it, but I want it to be something interesting, you know, and not just an excuse for a series of sight gags and, mm-hmm. you know, testicle humor, which I don't know. For a kid's movie, I don't know how much that will really enter into it. But
and I got to tell you,
if I wrote something called The Nut Job, there's a lot of testicle jokes. I'm just saying.
If my kids, there's something fucking wrong with you. If my kids were little, I still would not want to go see this movie. It just doesn't look good. It seems like a waste of your $25.
I'd take them to see Frozen again for the fifth time.
I'd take them to see Devil's Due before I take them to see this crap. It seems like a more fun family film. Well, they're having a kid.
Kind yeah, of it's family. A real happy movie.
We don't know how it ends. Don't spoil it.
I'm sure they all get their nuts.
Really? You're just determined to make every ball joke you can
make. Hey, I just said they get their nuts. You're the one who's, you know, making stuff out of that.
Oh.
As long as they finish.
Oh, the jokes. Okay. Our last film to talk about tonight. This one is Ride Along. Now, this looks a little more my style. Directed by Tim Story, starring Ice Cube and Kevin Hart. Fast-talking security guard Ben, played by Kevin Hart, joins his cop brother-in-law James, previously said Ice Cube, on a 24-hour patrol of Atlanta in order to prove himself worthy of marrying Angela, James's sister. My wife and I, we over the holiday, we rewatched 21 Jump Street. And Ice Cube is really kind of an unsung little comedy hero in that film, because he had us rolling every time he appeared. And we also watched Friday not that long ago.
Craig!
He is a really funny actor, and I think he's a better actor than most people want to consider. And Kevin Hart's a pretty funny guy too, the more I've gotten to see, you know, him perform and what he can do. So this one's actually kind of high on my list. You can make of that what you want. But for the rest of you guys, are you wanting to see, you know, jump in the back seat of this ride along? Aaron, why don't you tell me first?
Hell yes. I love Ice Cube movies, man. I've been following him for years. I love the Friday movies. I love when he does his little low-budget action flicks that he does every now and then. He used to do what was that guy's name? Brian, help me out. Mike something or other. He was in The Last Friday, and he was in a couple of other action movies with him. But Mike Epps, thanks. I like Ice Cube. And Kevin Hart's really growing on me. The guy is funny. Think Like a Man. He made that a really good movie. I want to see Grudge Match just because he's in it. I mean, he's a funny guy, and I love buddy action flicks, so I can't wait. I haven't seen a good buddy action flick in a long time.
I have no desire to see this movie.
Because you hate black people?
No.
Because you hate Vaughn?
No, I just... Kevin Hart strikes me as... Kevin Hart strikes me as one of those actors that I think makes a better supporting role. He's so over the top with his comedy that I just feel like halfway through this movie, I'd be sick of him.
But don't you think this is the kind of movie that is a lead role but not a lead role? I mean, that's what buddy movies are. Is they rely on another actor to make it work.
I like him better as an even less. Like, I didn't see Grudge Match, but he made me want to see that movie to see his minor, what looked to be a minor performance in that movie, because it's not the forefront of the movie, isn't that kind of comedy. It's just there as a tagline, so to speak. This one looks like it's front and center, and I just feel like I would just get annoyed with him very early on in the movie. I don't really have any desire.
I've always thought Kevin Hart was just a little too over the top for me, but this is one of the few movies that I want to see it because of him. And especially at the gun range where he shoots the shotgun and it throws him into that box behind him it's almost worth the price of admission just to watch that. So not sure if I'm going to, actually pay money to go see it, but it depends on how many times I can get there. So
how many times you can get there?
To the theater.
To the theater.
I got you.
It's not his first choice.
I understand.
Yeah.
I understand.
All right, folks. We have got four films. Jack Ryan, Shadow Recruit, Devil's Due, The Nut Job, and Ride Along. Of these four films, which one are you most likely to head into a theater and check out? Brian?
Love me some Costner. Got to go with Jack Ryan.
Right. Aaron?
Ride Along.
Scotty?
Love me some Jack Ryan.
Was it our echo?
It was a little quieter.
That's how much he wants to see it. He's like, Jack Ryan times two.
I'm going to go with Jack Ryan as well. I think that's a movie I could actually get the wife out of the house to go see, and it's one I want to see as well. Ride Along looks good, but it looks like one of those movies that I would rent, you know, rather than go into a theater and pay the full freight to watch. So Jack Ryan, Shadow Recruit. You are this week's winner.
I bet you I'm right. I bet you guys are all wrong. I bet you Ride Along is hysterical.
I bet you Kevin Costner is dancing a jig right now.
He's like, woohoo,
I won. Remember, guys, you can listen and subscribe on iTunes or Stitcher Radio app. Give us a thumbs up if you do. Or listen to our RSS feed at thehollywoodoutsider.com. There's a new episode every Thursday.
What's this movie?
What's this movie? Each week we play ours where the listeners suggest a clip from a movie. And if you think you know what the clip is, you email us at feedback@thehollywoodoutsider.com. Or you can just break shit. Whatever works
Oops.
For you. Once again,
what was that
email address. That's Brian. He fell off his chair. feedback@thehollywoodoutsider.com. Tweet us or Facebook us the answer. Next week, we'll give you a proper whole shout out. Last week's answer was a listener's choice. It was Doug Clayton's, and his pick was Crimson Tide. Those that got it correct. Craig, I hope I say this right. Schermerhorn. Sounds right. And he also said, what movie is this? Say this for me, Justin.
Say what?
Lipizzaner Stallion's quote, Crimson Tide.
Yes.
Lipizzaner Stallion.
Thank you. Lipizzaner. Great. And also Sean McGuire, he said,
say
great.
Say Lex Stallone.
Lipizzaner. No.
There you go.
Lipizzaner Stallion's quote, Crimson Tide. Sean McGuire said, a great movie with tension and drama, second to none. My favorite of the submarine movies. Is that a huge genre? And yes, that includes The Hunt for Red October.
Oh, blast.
So there's like four
no,
submarine
Crimson
movies.
No, Crimson Tide's better.
I like Hunt for October better.
I like Crimson Tide better.
New Five Roll Seven Tide. Good too.
Yep. And Marcus Shelton, what's that movie? What's that movie would be The Great Crimson Tide. Go Bama, Roll Tide.
Roll Tide, baby.
Well, this week it's my turn. If you think you know what the clip is, email us a feedback at thehollywoodoutsider.com. Next week, we'll give you a proper host shout-out. Here's your clip.
I'm surprised you haven't heard about me. You know, I got a bad reputation. I mean, sometimes I just go nuts like now. Don't move. I'll make a deal with you, Arjun. Arjun, is that or Aryan or whatever the fuck your name is? I'll make a little deal with you. You fold up your tents. Get the fuck out of my country, and I won't do anything to you. I'll leave you alone. Because if you stick around here, I'm gonna fuck your ass. I'm gonna send you home with your balls in a sling. You got that?
Just get out of here, kaffir lover.
All right, now let's go to the couch where we talk about TV home video news. Not a whole lot going on because it is the beginning of the year, but one piece of news, the Wachowskis finally have released details on their new Netflix show, Sense8. Justin, you suck at the teat of the Wachowskis. What is this thing about?
Well, one of them actually has teats, but I don't know if you get anything out of it.
Ew.
All right. What we know now is that Sense8 it's going to be a sci-fi drama that's going to focus on eight people who are scattered around the globe, but they're all connected by a shared violent vision. In each episode, which they've been shot in the UK, Seoul, Mumbai, Nairobi, Berlin, and Mexico City, San Francisco, and Chicago are going to follow the characters' separate stories, even as one entity tries to bring the octet together and another tries to kill them. So it's got, you know, it's got enough of that Lost feel. Yes, I mentioned the show. And it's got the Wachowskis at the helm. I am more excited than ever for this damn show to come out, especially since J. Michael Straczynski is also involved with it. I mean, honestly, I could cut glass with my nipples right now.
Alrighty.
They are perky at the thought of this show.
There's way too much information.
And suddenly sorry, got me
I may have overshared there.
Not interested in the show. I was really looking forward to it until you just said that. So
now you'll not be able to watch it without thinking of me just rubbing them.
I hope they put that doing little circles.
Yeah.
I hope they put that in the poster.
How else you can do it?
Justin McCumber makes my nipples hard.
How much of a budget will they have for that compared to, I mean, obviously it's going to be less than they would have for one of their movies, right?
I don't know.
I mean, Netflix has been making some pretty good money because their shows have so far, you know, been incredibly successful. So who knows? They may be throwing money at the Wachowskis hand over fist. We'll see.
We don't know. Their egos might be writing checks that their bodies can't cash. Just saying. All right, DVD and Blu-ray, Scott.
We're looking at for releases of January 14th. First up is Riddick.
What?
Yes, Riddick, which we reviewed on episode 109. Justin wrote a written review, gave it an $8 out of 10. Aaron gave it a $7.50. You're Next, which is that, is it considered a horror or is it a thriller?
That's horror.
Horror.
Yeah, okay. That's horror.
It was discussed on episode 107. Aaron wrote a written review, gave it a $6.50, which is surprising. I thought you liked it better
than
that.
I said the movie's just okay, but the lead actress is fantastic.
I do want to check that one out. Yep. Also, Fruitvale Station, which Aaron reviewed on episode 103, where gave it an $8.50. Carrie, we reviewed on episode 115. Justin gave it a 7 out of 10. Aaron wrote a written review and also gave it a $7 out of 10. Mm-hmm. The Butler, which you notice we are just calling The Butler. We're not calling it the full.
Lee Daniels, The Butler.
Lee Daniels, The Butler.
I don't think he's earned that shit.
He ain't no Tyler Perry.
He is no Tyler Perry. Guys, as much as I don't like Tyler Perry movies, he's earned his title.
You can check out episode 106 where Aaron gave that one a $6 out of 10. And lastly is A Single Shot. That was the one with,
Sam Rockwell.
Sam Rockwell, thank you. Episode 110, Aaron wrote a written review, gave it a $6 out of 10. And that's one I actually really kind of want to check out, despite, I mean...
I think you'd like it. Yeah. It's good. It's just not a movie that you'll watch again.
Yeah, you know it'll make you feel good about stuff.
Kind new. Of There's no replay value.
All right. So that's all for releases. Next up, we'll go to our Recasting the Classic segment. This is where once every other week or so, one of us passes off to another a classic film that we'd like them to recast as if the movie were going to be remade with current actors. Last time, I gave Brian the task of recasting the movie Scrooged, which I know we're past the holidays, but he had to recast the characters of Frank Cross, Elliot, the Ghost of Christmas Past, and the Ghost of Christmas Present. Brian, what do you have?
All righty, I'll start with the Ghost of Christmas Past, and I will go with the guy from Parks and Rec TV show, Aziz Ansari.
Wow. Wow. Did not see that coming.
No, I didn't either. That's actually pretty good.
So staying with the ghost, I'll go with the Ghost of Christmas Present. I wanted to go with Amy Sedaris, but I don't think a lot of people know who she is. I think she's a hilarious comedian. So I'll go with somebody a little bit more recognizable, and that's Kat Dennings.
Ooh. Mm.
Yeah.
Because of Christmas High.
I like her talent, and now I want to see this Christmas movie.
Next is Elliot Loudermilk, who was played by Bobcat Goldthwait. So you kind of need somebody a little quirky. So
that's an interesting... That's a quite... that's a pretty close accurate representation of Bobcat Goldthwait.
Yeah. Yeah, he's a little office rocker. So there's... The one guy that really came to mind, I wanted to try to find somebody different, but I just kept coming back to him, and that's Charlie Day. Pacific Rim, Always Sunny in Philadelphia. I think he could just about almost play Bobcat Goldthwait just word for word.
Yeah, that's a good choice.
That's pretty spot on right there.
Frank Cross, the main guy, Bill Murray. A little bit different, but I'm going with Ty Burrell.
I like that. Nice.
The dad from Modern Family.
Yeah,
he's really got a decent range. He played a dickhead in Dawn of the Dead.
Mm-hmm.
He can also play that sweet, goofy, fun guy. I think he could really do a really good job going from one range to the other. So
that's an excellent pick, man. Very underrated actor.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I like all the picks.
I just kind of want to hear some more accolades, if y'all don't mind.
Don't worry. Scotty liked all the picks.
Hey, let's not all just start sucking each other's dicks just yet.
No, just mine. Just mine. That's just mine. So,
nice picks, Brian. You didn't fail for once.
All righty. Good deal. Sorry, wasn't all women.
Yeah.
I know you like that, Aaron.
I like when... Why don't you throw Anna Kendrick in here somewhere? Can she be Frank Cross? Francis Cross?
Well, look, he only gave me four people to recast. Otherwise, we definitely could have figured something out for her.
Sure, you could have.
All right. I'm going to hand this off to Justin. Justin, I want you to take the 1980s classic movie, Goonies.
Mm-hmm.
And I want you to recast Mikey, played by Sean Astin. I want you to recast Brand, played by... who was his older brother, played by Josh Brolin. Everybody's favorite fat kid, Chunk. And just to mix it up a little bit, how about Mama Fratelli?
Ooh.
The old lady who was the main villain in it. Mm-hmm. So
throw Mama from the Train Lady.
Yeah, she was great. And Ramsey, she was great at being not likable.
Yeah, yeah. I wonder what she was like as a person. I heard she was very sweet.
Really?
Probably, mm-hmm.
Probably yeah.
Yeah.
Good luck with that, by the way, Justin.
Finding three kids to fill those. Well, two kids and a young-looking person.
I think Brand will probably have to, I don't know, I might have to go with...
Zac Efron?
Zac Efron, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Zac Efron.
I'm going to go Jeremy Renner, but maybe I have to go with Zac. Well,
see what happens. They throw Renner in and everything else. You might as well. All right, let's go to From the Outside In. That's what you guys have been waiting for. What are we looking forward to 2014? First, we're going to give you some predictions on what we think about the movies that are coming out. We're going to talk about, the movies we think are going to crash and burn. We're going to talk about movies that we think are going to start franchises, what we think are going to end franchises, and then we're going to tell you the three most anticipated movies to us of 2014. So first up, and Justin, you can go first. What is the 2014 movie you most think is going to crash and burn?
I'm going to pick the low-hanging fruit on this one, I, Frankenstein. Ooh. That looks like the biggest punch bowl full of turds I have ever seen. And if it makes its money back, I will be shocked.
Do we know what it cost? I don't know what it cost.
I have no idea. Whatever it was too much. Because the studio's going to be losing all of that.
It looks expensive.
Aaron Eckhart looks ripped, though.
Yeah, he does.
Like, he got an ab roller for Christmas.
What I don't get is, he is such a good actor. Who didn't tell him, dude, don't take this?
Have you seen his parts lately? I don't think anybody's told him anything. I think he's just signing the paperwork.
Looks awful. I, Frankenstein, I'm not seeing this movie. That's what it should have been called.
Now, you said that. Everybody quote him. Because this is the perfect kind of movie that Justin would totally go see.
It would be if it didn't look like a punch bowl full of turds.
Scotty, what about you? What movie are you predicting is going to crash and burn?
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Ooh.
No.
Did you say no? I'm with Justin. I want that movie to be awesome. Mm-hmm. I think it's going to be a bunch of 30 and 40 year old people that go see it on opening weekend, and that's it. And a bunch is a relative term. I think that I don't think that the younger generation has any love for the Ninja Turtles.
So yours isn't. You don't think it's going to be bad. You just think it's just not going to make money.
Right.
I got you.
I think it has a potential to be an okay movie. I think Megan Fox as April O'Neil is actually pretty good casting, but I can't see that movie doing well.
Really.
I want it to, but I don't think it will.
Hey, fair enough, man. Just asking the questions.
Mm-hmm. Oh, dude, the guy who directed this also directed Wrath of the Titans. How can it not fucking succeed?
You're selling me. You're getting me wanting to go to the theater right now. I want to go.
That was a lot of sarcasm for those who may have missed it.
Was that snarky? Was that the anger coming out? I can't tell anymore.
Oh, you're right. Woosah.
Yeah. Woosah.
Woosah.
Oh, and Brian found out, da-da-da, $68 million. That's how much I Frankenstein's budget was.
Those poor fuckers.
$68 million? Really? Jesus, that's a lot
down
of...
Down the turlet.
That's so much money. I guess his ab roller costs a lot of money. Well, my pick is Transcendence. That's the Johnny Depp puts his mind into a computer and takes over whatever, the world or something, movie that's coming out on April 18th. I think that looks like dog shit.
Yeah, I think is that a little bit of Lone Ranger did poorly.
I think he's going to get it 2 years in a row. Yeah, I think Johnny Depp, unfortunately, well, he actually appears on my list again, and I'll get to that when we get to it. But I just think the movie is one of those. Do you guys remember that movie with Denzel Washington and Russell Crowe years ago? I wish I could remember the name of it.
Oh God, that was Lawnmower Virtuality.
Man. No, Virtuality. That was
Lawnmower Man.
No, Pierce Brosnan. Virtuality. It reminds me of that, where it's too high concept for what it looks like. It just doesn't look good. The trailer doesn't look good. It's almost like they thought Chris Nolan was going to direct it, and then they realized he wasn't. Because, no. I just can't do it. What about you, Brian?
This one's going to hurt me a little bit to say it.
Oh.
And I've got higher hopes for it. It just sounds like it's just destined for disaster. And that's Edge of Tomorrow with Tom Cruise, where he basically, the world is taken over by aliens and what have you. And so he's got this Groundhog Day effect type of thing going, where he's stuck in some sort of time loop where he jumps back to the battle where the pivotal battle where, you know, we get our asses handed to us. I don't know. To me, it just doesn't sound too good.
Fair enough, man. Well, what about the 2014 movie you think has the most potential to start a new franchise?
This one's a little difficult because if you read through a list of movies coming out, if it's a new franchise, you might not be as familiar with it, or at least I wasn't. Mm-hmm. I picked one, and I'll be perfectly honest, I don't know if there are more books based on that this movie was based on, but Divergent, I think, has a lot of potential. That's all I got. That's it.
Does it sound like a franchise that you would want to see continued? Is that why? Or just
not necessarily. I just think it looks like it has potential to be something. I think this young adult book translated into movie thing is working really well with, you know, obviously like Hunger Games, and mm-hmm. didn't work so well with Ender's Game, but obviously the Twilight series, that kind of thing. I think this is starting to become a thing, and I think that looks like it could be the next big one.
We'll see. That trailer looks like shit, though. It really does. I hope it's much better than what that is. My pick is Noah. Just kidding. Maleficent. I know I can't say that word, so I'm not going to bother.
Maleficent.
Maleficent. There we go. May 30th, Angelina Jolie as Sleeping Beauty's dastardly villain. I think it looks beautiful. She looks game. And I would love, absolutely love to see a series of movies told from the villain's perspective that aren't jokey or ridiculous or like take it very seriously. I think that could be a wonderful world to revisit. Hmm. That's my pick.
Well, if the teaser trailer is any indication, my pick would be Godzilla.
Oh, really?
That is such an awesome teaser trailer. The way that it starts out, you know, it looks like it's a military movie. Then, of course, by the end of it, you realize that's not some weird mountain range they're landing on. That's a giant tail. So, I don't know. I'm just going off a trailer. But if the movie is as good as the teaser, then this is definitely launching a trilogy of some sorts.
See, I toyed with that one, but I didn't think that could be considered a new franchise since it's a reboot.
No, I guess.
Would you?
I wouldn't, but hey, it's his pick.
So. Well, I'm just saying I felt.
We'll leave it up to the listeners to email us and tell Brian.
Sorry, hey, look, it's been what, a decade or more since
I don't know
the last one that you don't even like and consider it even exists.
I like that one.
You like the Matthew Broderick movie?
Yeah,
Puff. Yeah, I did too. So
Puff Daddy remix of Kashmir was awesome.
That's a song. That's not a movie.
No, I actually enjoyed the movie. I actually watched it recently.
You wait, literally enjoyed?
Yeah, I mean, it's a stupid movie, but it's fun.
All right. I'm okay with that. As long as you acknowledge that it's stupid.
Oh, yeah. I'm not saying it's quality cinema. I'm saying it's a good movie to sit down and shut your brain off and enjoy it.
You definitely don't
need to. There you go, Scott. Good job.
Justin?
You know, I think this is kind of a gimme, but I think the Lego movie.
Mm.
You know, kids love animated films. This one looks incredibly bright. It's got a lot of things going on with it. I'm not all that interested in it, but there is... I say that, yet when I watch the trailer, there are enough moments in it that I think, you know, I might actually want to see that. And I think it's probably going to be a strong enough movie with enough people seeing it that we'll see another Lego movie, because there's just so many things they can do with that franchise.
I agree.
That's a great pick. That's going to be a huge family flick, too. Now, what about a 2014 sequel you think is going to end the franchise? It's a sequel. It's part 2, 3, 4, 27, whatever it is, but this is going to be the one that kills it. Brian?
300 Rise of an Empire.
Good choice, man. Good choice.
That was mine as well, actually.
Yeah, that's really? Mine too.
Is it really? It's all three of you?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I'm shocked this movie actually was even made.
Wow. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think we pretty much... Probably for all just about the same reasons. It's a bit too long after the fact of 300. I mean, when 300 came out, it was just a different style. It looked neat and everything. That was part of the allure of seeing it. And now that it's, you know, that technology has been used in a dozen different movies, it's not fresh and new anymore. They've even got the Spartacus TV show, which is in its 50th season or something. It looks like 300, just the TV show.
And so that said, I do think this actually looks, for me anyway, it looks good. And I'm definitely going to see it, but I don't think you'll ever see another one of these 300 movies again.
300 is one of those movies that came out, at least in my memory, around when Blu-ray started becoming a big thing. Mm-hmm. And that was the movie, you got to see that movie in Blu-ray. And I think that was a lot of the appeal for it. Is the
visual style.
It looked visually stunning. It looked like something I had never seen before on screen. And we've kind of been there, done that with that. By like Brian said, it's too late.
It does kind of have that Matrix vibe. Like movies that came out after the Matrix, where they were all copying that whole the whole backdrop.
Bullet time.
Yeah, the whole look and the steely blue colors and color scheme.
Everybody's wearing black dusters.
Exactly. Everybody has sunglasses and daylight, nighttime, whatever. Nobody trips. Makes no sense. Yeah, that sort of thing. Well, I'm the only one that apparently didn't pick 300. What's the title of it? Rise of the Empire? Is that what it is?
Rise of an Empire.
Well, my pick, nobody kill me, Sin City, A Dame to Die For. That's
totally with that one as well, actually.
Robert Rodriguez is revisiting Sin City. It has more to do with how long it's been since the last one and his recent track record, because Machete Kills fucking sucked. And it has more to do with that than it has to do with the movie, because I want to see the movie. It just has me worried.
Yeah. Predators was pretty good, though.
What's that?
Predators was pretty good, though.
He didn't direct Predators.
No, that was just his studio.
Yeah, that's right. I like Rodriguez. I like his movie. I love Sin City. I just think this is going to be a movie that it's been too long. And if he gives Frank Miller too many hands in it, it's really not going to be good. Because Frank Miller is great at the comic or the graphic novel, whatever you want to call it. But he is not good as a filmmaker. I'm sorry. Rodriguez makes these movies. Lately, I've been doubting some of his creative choices. And seriously, Machete Kills sucked. It shouldn't have been that bad.
I'm hoping A Dame to Kill For is good, because I'm glad that they're picking. Do what?
A Dame to Die For.
Dame to Die For. I've read all the graphic novels, and they're really good. I'm glad that they're going back to some of the other ones that they didn't include in the first one. But yeah, I am a little worried about that too. Yeah.
It's one of those, I think we both agree, want to see it horribly, but please don't fuck it up.
Please don't suck.
Yeah. Now, what about, okay, 2014 has a lot of movies, a lot of sequels, a lot of things in it. But what is the one that struck you as the most unique premise? What's really stood out to you?
You know, I liked what I saw, and I liked even more of what I've read for Interstellar. Mm. You know, it's a science fiction film, but it doesn't look like it's about shooting aliens or uncovering, you know, some kind of lost relics or something. It's just about a wormhole being discovered and scientists going through it, you know, and it's a film that's, you know, going to show their journey across space and time. And Christopher Nolan so far for me has done nothing wrong. Every movie he's done is great. The cast is phenomenal with McConaughey and Anne Hathaway and Jessica Chastain. It's, in every way, this film looks like it should hit all of my sweet spots. And I like that it's a movie about science fiction that so far does not look to involve any kind of war or combat or anything like that. It's more about just the mystery of space.
Ooh, I like that. Good pick. What about you, Scotty?
Bad Words. It's a comedy. But I think the premise of that, an adult guy loopholing his way into a spelling bee to be vulgar as hell, just looks – it's just so clever. It's one of those – the first time I saw the opening to that trailer, I was like, why didn't I think of this?
Is this the Jason Bateman movie, right?
Why don't you turn your curry hole around before I tell the pilot your bag is ticking?
Oh, man. I can't wait to see that movie. It looks so good. But, I mean, just from a general premise that it's just so funny, and I can't wait.
Good choice, man. Mine is a movie called Into the Woods. It comes out next Christmas. I think exactly. Yep, Christmas Day, December 25th. It's about a witch who conspires to teach important lessons to various characters of popular children's stories, including Little Red Riding Hood, Cinderella, Jack and the Beanstalk, and Rapunzel. And it's a musical. Johnny Depp, who the Teeny Swad.
Whoa! Little Freudian slip there.
I feel like drunk Brian right now. Sweeney Todd, the Sweeney Todd movie. I love that movie. Anna Kendrick's in it. She does have a beautiful voice, so I want to see it. Rob Marshall directed it. It seems very whimsical, very wonderful. I love Rob Marshall's work. Johnny Depp, I believe, still has extreme talent. Unfortunately, he's made some poor choices, but he has extreme talent. Anna Kendrick, I think, is talented. I just don't think she's as talented as you guys think she is. But I think this looks extremely clever. I really want to see it.
You had me at Anna Kendrick.
I'm sure yes. I did. I'm sure I did.
I stopped listening after Anna Kendrick.
Brian.
Took me to a special place.
Bye, Brian.
Oh, all right.
Wake up. Shake it off, literally.
Oh, okay. All right, I'm back. I got to agree with Justin here. Interstellar, for me, it's kind of the same thing, too. It was just the more I kind of read about it, because it's actually based on real science.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently it's kind of following some theories by this Caltech physicist.
Kip Thorne?
Yeah, Kip Thorne. And it even kind of deals with some of the hypotheses that Albert Einstein had, but could never actually prove. So the fact that this is actually, it's, I guess in a way, kind of like, was it Europa Report? That was one of the most factually correct science fiction movies.
No Gravity. Oh, wait, no, that wasn't it.
Shut up.
That fascinates me. And then you know, of course you throw in that hell of a cast, and then you got Christopher Nolan driving this ship. This, man, this sounds like gold.
Sounds like it. All right, let's get to it, guys. What are your top three most anticipated movies of 2014? And you only get three, Justin. You don't get 47. You don't get to say, you know, I'd like to pick this one, but this one, but I'm going to settle on these nine. So what are your top?
All right, let me get to deleting.
And everybody listening knows what I'm talking about. What are your three most anticipated movies? Scott, you can go first.
Muppets Most Wanted. It's my the Muppet movie was my favorite film of, was it 2011?
Phenomena?
It's going to be in my head all night now. Thanks. And Muppets Most Wanted comes out on March 21st of this year. Next on my list is X-Men Days of Future Past. Said enough about that. I cannot wait for that movie. I'm so stoked. That comes out on May 23rd. And lastly, Dumb and Dumber 2. I know it's probably doomed to be failure, but I cannot wait to see that. I've been waiting for that sequel for so long. That one comes out on November 14th.
Really? Those are your three, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I like comedies.
That's a shit list.
Wow.
Just telling you, that's a shit list.
Why is that a shit list? Because it's not your list?
I'm just trying to poke at it.
Oh, you're going to make him sad. All right. First up, Amazing Spider-Man 2, because it's my favorite superhero. And if you know the Gwen Stacy storyline, you're dying to know if they use it. Sincerely, that is one of my favorite storylines in the comics. I want to know if they actually follow it. And I won't tell you
what. Spoil now.
I won't tell anybody what it is. If they really want to know, trust me, you can Google the shit out of it. You'll find it quick. I want to see how many supervillains you can fit in one movie. Seriously. Because obviously they're just throwing them in like a sardine can in this flick, according to the trailer. I want to see if they can do what they seem like they want to do with the Sinister Six, introducing or getting that going, and actually make it work. If they can do that, I will leave giddy as you will not see a guy giddier in the theater this year. Number two, Expendables 3. I want to see Expendables 3. I don't give a rat's ass how cheesy that makes me or how cheesy the movie looks or anything else. I have no shame in it. Arnold Sly, Harrison Ford, Jason Statham, Wesley Snipes, Mel the Jew Hater Gibson. Everybody's in it. Seriously, feel my nipples right now.
I'll pass.
For free. Usually I charge it.
I'll pass.
August 15th is when that comes out. And lastly, The Monuments Men.
That does look good.
I love George Clooney as an actor, as a director. Pretty much anything he does.
As a man.
He is sexy. And Matt Damon.
Bill
Murray. A gaggle of other people. I just like saying the word gaggle. They're going to twist the exhausting backdrop of World War II. I think that's finally something new to that genre. Because in this one, it's going to be a little bit fresher. It's going to be soldiers trying to recover works of art before Hitler can get to it. I think that's a great spin on a really exhausted genre.
And they're not even soldiers.
Exactly.
I mean, some of them, yeah. I mean, these are civilians brought in to do a soldier's job.
And they're in over their heads. But they're showing how important culture is to our history, our society. I think sometimes they need to make movies that remind people of that. If anybody can make it a fun, I mean, if you can make World War II a fun romp, George Clooney can do it. And that comes out February 7th. Those are my three. Amazing Spider-Man 2, Expendables 3, Monuments Men. Brian?
Yeah, let's see. I'm going to go with Captain America Winter Soldier. I like the idea that they're making it more political thriller type feel. Mm-hmm. So that opens up April 4th.
Hey, Interstellar. Before you move on, do you think that Captain America Winter Soldier is going to add, because I know you guys are really excited that it's going to take place modern day. Do you think it's going to bring anything new to it, like new characters other than the ones you've seen? Do you think it's going to introduce anything, or is it just going to run that comic storyline and that's pretty much going to stick to the script?
I'm sure there's going to be new characters introduced. I mean, we do know the Falcon will be in it. You know, it's I just think I don't know whatever plan. I'm sure it's not going to be. I don't think it's going to be a character that we see through all three phases of, you know, of the Marvel master plan.
Okay.
I think it's, you know, this one may be, I don't know. I mean, this is phase two and this is only the second Captain America movie. So yeah, this one may make a third one for the phase three. So he is a strong enough character to be a thread that runs through all three phases. So I don't know. It's hard to say because, you know, they're going with such a space theme with Thanos and the Infinity Gauntlet looking stuff and mm-hmm. Guardians of the Galaxy. But, you know, they're bringing in Ant-Man. He was an Avenger. So Captain America is, you know, the main Avenger. When you think of the Avengers, he's the backbone of it. So
absolutely.
He was the first one.
He was. That's what the movie said. It was the title. What are your other two, Brian? I'm sorry.
Interstellar opens up November 7th, just for all the same reasons we talked about a few minutes ago. It's mm-hmm. just such a unique premise. Everybody involved with it are just masters at their craft, and that just makes me want to see it a little bit more. And opening on July 11th, Dawn of Planet of the Apes.
Oh, yeah.
I just, that teaser trailer just got me pumped for it. Basically, this simian flu has wiped out a lot of humans. The genetically evolved apes are growing and growing and growing, and San Francisco is pretty much wiped out. It just looks fantastic. I like the first one. I'm very anxious to see where they take this one, and I got a feeling this is going to be more of what I was hoping the first one would be. Now that the groundwork's laid, I hope this is a lot of action, and there's no James Franco. So,
which is weird because he'll do anything, literally anything.
Yep.
He's probably in a monkey suit.
Spring break.
Justin, come on, bring us the awesome list.
Brian already mentioned Interstellar, so, and all the reasons why we've already given him. Again, that's going to be November 7th. Jupiter Ascending, of course, has to be on my list. The Wachowskis have never failed me. This one just looks spectacular, and it comes out July 18th. And while this wasn't on anyone's list, Brian did mention it, Guardians of the Galaxy. This one, of all the Marvel films, looks the flat-out craziest. And if this had come out, if this had been like one of the first ones, I would be so worried that they're not going to handle it properly. But after all of the X-Men, after two different Thors, Avengers, now going to be two different Captain Americas, their track record in these Marvel films is, even including Incredible Hulk, I think it's an unblemished track record. I can't imagine that they are going to drop the ball on this one. James Gunn is a fantastic director, very quirky sense of humor and sense of style. I think it's going to be fucking amazing. Mm. There is just a tiny sliver of fear that it's going to be too crazy for its own good. I'm hoping they can strike a good balance with it, but definitely those are the three that I'm most anticipating to see this year. I would give some honorables, but you already
I'm sure you
me.
Would about 44 of them. Well,
just one.
Our listeners, they threw in a few, so maybe you'll get lucky and it's on there somewhere. Mm-hmm. D.A. Chaney said, welcome back, hoes. I have more than one, naturally. Guardians of the Galaxy, because I want to see how Kick-Ass, Rocket, and Groot are going to look. I'm really hoping the movie goes beyond possible expectations, given the type of movie it is. Number two, The Hobbit, there and back again, because she wants to see the conclusion of Peter Jackson's plan. Honorable mention, Godzilla. I hope it's as amazing as Pacific Rim. The conclusion of Peter Jackson's plan, I wonder if he's going to pad about four or five endings onto The Hobbit.
God, your lips to his ears.
God. Gene Morton, one, Need for Speed. I want to see if Aaron Paul will have a career after Breaking Bad. Two, RoboCop. I'm a big fan of the original movie, and I am hoping the updated version is just as good or better. Three, Nonstop. That's the Liam Neeson movie, because I would see anything with Liam Neeson. Good call. Doug Clayton said, Hose Return. We did. Interstellar. Nolan, need I say more? Not really. Jupiter Rising. It's actually Jupiter Ascending. Love epic space operas. Soups versus Bats Geekgasm. It's actually going to be 2015, so unfortunately you're going to be really disappointed this summer.
But, that would have been my entire list.
Yeah, pretty much. That would have been Justin's list right there. But 2004 should kick ass, is what he, or 2014. 2004 really wasn't that good. Tyler Seaver said RoboCop. Man, RoboCop's getting quite more mentions than I thought it would.
It looks good.
It does look good.
Steven White, X-Men, Days of Future Past. It was one of my favorite storylines in the comics. Captain America, Winter Soldier, because it's Cap. And Edge of Tomorrow, which apparently Brian and you might have a little fight, because it looks badass, but I do wish they would have kept the original name, All You Need Is Kill. That's such a great title.
It is, but American audiences are already going to have it tough enough time with a premise. I think that title would have been the nail in its coffin.
In America? In
yeah,
America?
Yeah, I think kids would maybe get it, but older adults, that title would completely put them off.
I could see that. I could see it. Stephen Feldman, Aronofsky's Noah. I have a feeling that will be quite the film, but you know how it's going to end. Brad Peterson, Godzilla, because Heisenberg versus Godzilla. Stomp lightly. Nice.
Nice.
Rochelle Wister. Godzilla.
That's how they defeat Godzilla. They pump him full of meth.
Ooh, blue Godzilla. Rochelle Wister said Godzilla, so that's, wow, Godzilla's getting a lot of mentions. Ashley Stewart, Days of Future Past, there is no better answer. Linton Bowers, again, Godzilla, because I hope they get it right. Wow. Man, I
And Ashley, I presented three better choices.
And also on Twitter, Jared Rees said, Interstellar, big fan of anything Christopher Nolan does right now. Good call. And Tammy says, I'm looking forward to Ride Along. See, because she likes the Ice Cube, and yeah, she likes him too. And that Jack Ryan movie. But I like how you just said that Jack Ryan movie. Shadow Recruit. I am really shocked, honestly, of all those, that Godzilla is getting so many mentions. That surprises me. So I think Brian's the only one that mentioned it. Brian wins.
Yes.
It's got a lot of nostalgic value.
That's true. That's true. Well, before we wrap up the show, which we're going to do here in a second, we're going to do a new bit called Ho Corner. New year, new bit. So Ho Corner. Each week, I kind of steer the ship like a dictator. So now each week, one of our other hoes is going to get a sounding board to talk about anything they want, anything irking them, or maybe even making them a little bit giddy in the movie TV world. Kind of think of it as an extra news item. And we try to talk some sense into them or discuss it. This week, it's Justin's turn, and we know he likes to talk. Justin, here you go.
This one's been building in me for a little while now.
Ruh-roh.
I am sick to death of how long it takes a movie in a theater to get started. I arrive at my movie theater at least 10 minutes before the movie's going to start, if not 15, because I want to be there on time. I want to get my snacks. I want to get seated. I want to be prepared. But now it's like between the commercials, between the fucking little computer animated ditties that each franchise now has to have all their own of. And then how many fucking trailers do we need these days? Used to be one, two, or three, maybe three, but now you're lucky if you get less than five.
Yeah, you can't even time it anymore.
And they're all the same trailers I've seen online a dozen times. So I go to the movie, I'm there early, and then I've got to wait another 10 minutes or so, because the movie's supposed to start, say, at 1:10. Well, shit, the actual movie doesn't start till 1:20. Run all that shit before the movie's supposed to start. Start my movies on time.
Wow, he even pounded the desk. I like it.
Dude, I'm tired of it.
He's fired up.
Come on, somebody give me an amen. Give me a hallelujah.
Hallelujah, son.
I'm with you, but if they
you're nuts.
That nobody would ever see the trailers. Because nobody shows up to the movies on time except
for
people.
Well, then fuck them.
Well,
I'm with Justin on this one.
But that's who they're marketing to. They're marketing to the
masses.
Well,
masses. Losers who can't show up to a movie on fucking time?
Yeah, here's where I sit. You've got a movie. It gives you a start time. It should start relatively close to it. Now, I realize you're going to run trailers. I've always loved trailers. But I agree with the man. It's getting to the point where it is ridiculous. 20 fucking minutes before your movie starts. I went to The Hobbit. Because I had to see it again. My uncle wanted to see it. So I went with my uncle to go see The Hobbit. 20 minutes. That movie's already too fucking long. I got to wait another 20 minutes before it even starts a second. That's bullshit. bull.
No, I'm with you totally.
Bull with the capital shit.
That's how I feel with DVDs and Blu-rays too. But
whoa, let Brian speak here now. What are you talking about here? What do you mean we're nuts?
I love the trailers.
20
I make a point to get there before the trailers. I don't care if I've seen it. If I've, you know, we are much more in tune with the new trailers than I think your average person, because you know it's a. And I still, even if I've seen it, I still like seeing it up there on the big screen. I don't care. Is there something about seeing a trailer, a teaser, something that, you know, for a big movie that you want to see, you know, coming out in 6 months or a year, whatever the case is. And I agree, you know, maybe the lead-ins to the actual movie does get a bit long. And of course, like you said, the things that bug me is, you know, are the little animation deals for every sound system, every video camera,
popcorn, turn off your phone.
Yeah. I mean, and all that stuff is ridiculous. And I agree with you. And I don't need a little 10-15 second animation thing for the camera, you know, that's shooting the movie on the screen. I don't need another one for the audio system and all in whatever else they're pimping. So but as far as the trailers go, I love the trailers, and you know, whoever I go with, usually they are not in tune with what's coming out, you know, like I am. So mm-hmm. I get a kick out of watching them, you know, watching their reactions and them seeing it for the first time. So mm-hmm. I love, like I said, I personally love the trailers, and that's
my issue isn't so much with the trailers, but it's with how many there are. Because I swear to God, there's at least six now. And the fact that they all run at the time the movie should be starting.
There's more.
Have the trailers, have three or four, but run them before the movie time.
I couldn't agree more, man. I mean, if you were within 5 or 10 minutes, maybe that's fine. I guess fine, but it is getting longer and longer. Every year seems to be longer. I mean, at what point, Brian? Let me ask you: at what point is it unacceptable? Movie starts at 5. You get there at 5. The movie doesn't start till 5:20. At what point is it? Okay, now you're affecting my time. Because people try to plan, you know, what they're going to do after that. You know, maybe they're going to have a little skinny dip somewhere or something, you know. They want to time it. They can't.
Look, I look at the start time. Start time says 7 o'clock. I see the run time. It says, okay, an hour, 53 minutes. All right, so I know I've got to plan at least 2 hours for this movie. So then, you know, I budget my time accordingly. It doesn't, once I'm there and once those lights go down, I don't care that it's four trailers at two and a half minutes each. I just don't care.
I see both sides of it. I'll give you one thing. Number one, by the time the trailers and commercials and everything are done, I swear I got my popcorn done.
And see, and I'm one joking. Of those guys that I don't start eating it until that film starts rolling. So my shit is all cold and congealed.
Same
now.
Here, Justin. I'm with you. Same here.
Thanks, bro. Yeah.
But from a marketing standpoint,
my wife will have downed that fucking popcorn before I ever get to it.
I said it before. I'll say it again. If you put the start time as when the actual movie starts, nobody's going to show up until right when that thing starts, if not later. And then
the last thing I want is some jackass walking through there trying to find a seat while I'm 10 minutes into the movie.
And then
there's nothing I love better than a packed theater, and then I see some dumbass and his woman come walking into the theater 10 minutes into the movie and looking around all, you know, disgruntled because there's no open seats. I want to stand up and shout, dumbass, you should have got here on time.
Yeah. Well, but based on your argument, they have a reason to come 10 minutes late. They don't want to see the fucking trailer.
No, because they know the deal. We all know the deal. These are just dipshits that couldn't get here on time for whatever reason.
If they're still missing the first 10 or 15 minutes of the movie, then that means that they're 30 freaking minutes late.
No sympathy.
God.
Start my movies on time.
Good launch of the new segment, Justin. I like it. All right, before we get to emails, we do Facebook. Any new Facebook likes we mentioned here on the show? Like I said, it's been 3 weeks since we've done an episode. We actually have quite a few. Kevin Beshelder. Thanks for liking us on Facebook. Dennis Gustafson.
Batchelder, I think is how he pronounces
it. Batchelder. Okay, Batchelder. Julie Foote. Did I say that right? I hope I said that right. Emily Peckham, or just foot, but there's an E, so Fute. Eli Guzman, Buzos Egresatos Semper Fi. I know Semper Fi, that's Marines. Craig Schermerhorn, Julie Green Weston, Ryan Page, Jason Taylor, Ryan Bittiger, Ryan Kingsbury, Casey Lindsley, and I said Casey Lindsley twice. Because I
she's twice as nice.
She is twice as nice. Thank you.
Guys, want to know something funny?
Not really. But sure.
Julie Foote is my mom.
Oh. How did we say it right? Is it Foote?
It's Foote.
It's Foote, dumbass.
See your mom probably like the page?
Did you see a little accent mark over the E?
Does Facebook allow you little accent marks? Because if I'm putting one over the O in my name.
Peter Sohn.
Aaron Peter Sohn. All right, let's go to emails. Wrap this show up. I know people are dying to leave us. Justin.
We've got two emails. Or were these emails or were these
Facebooks?
All right. We've got two Facebook posts here. The first one is from Peter Peppa, Germany. He says, Katie Sackhoff has said she'd love to play Harley Quinn. What do you think about this? I think that's fantastic. I really like Katie Sackhoff, and I think that if she's wanting to play this role that much, then I would love to see her take on that role. I think she's got the voice for it. The only concern being Harley Quinn doesn't exist without the Joker, and I think adding the Joker in with this Man of Steel versus Batman and Wonder Woman and Lex Luthor, it's already a little packed. I think the Joker and Harley Quinn are going to have to wait a little while, but I'd love to see her do it. Do you guys have any quick thoughts on that?
Could she pull off that voice?
I think she could. I definitely think she could do the, Mr. J kind of thing pretty well.
My only thought is, and I put it on Facebook, my only thought is Harley Quinn is directly tied to the Joker. I mean, I really don't think you can do a movie with her without the Joker. And I think it's just too soon. It's still too soon. Unfortunately, it's one of those iconic roles, and he died. It's kind of like Brandon Lee with The Crow. You needed like 20 years before it was okay. So
I don't think they waited quite that long to do The Crow 2, but I get your meaning.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
she's also mentioned she wanted to play Wonder Woman and even Han Solo. So, I mean, she's just all over the
place. She could do both.
Your version of Han Solo, I bet you, is a little different than what Brian's talking about.
I bet she could play her. Her Starbuck was a little bit of Han Solo, so I could see her doing that. All right, second one is from Vicky Hernandez Calgaro. Merry Christmas and a little late to the party. Catching the A Christmas Story marathon has given me inspiration to recast the parents, in parentheses, as I thought Scott's picks were a little too old. She cast Jason Segel for the dad and Zooey Deschanel for the mom. I think she went a little too young myself. She goes on and says he could play the grumpiness perfectly, and Zooey would be so great as the loving mom who loves being the goofy mom for her kids.
You've suddenly made me want to actually see that movie. If you recast him with those actors, I would actually go see it. I wouldn't see it otherwise.
I think they're a little too young for it, but
I could see Zooey over Jason Segel. I think if Jason Segel tries to be grumpy, it will seem like he's acting.
I can see your point.
I think he always seemed grumpy in the earlier stuff. Like Forgetting Sarah Marshall, he seemed pretty grumpy.
No, he seemed depressed.
It's the same thing.
No, it's not.
Well, nah.
Depressed because you got broke up by
got a
Kristen
lot of
Bell.
Experience, is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
What about
grumpy
you?
Grumpy is what you are, Aaron. Depressed is what your wife is.
Touche. Brian, your turn.
Waka, waka, waka. All right, this is from Sean McGuire. He says, Chromecast was my pick for the new technology item that was a game changer. It took me less than 2 minutes to set up, and it is extremely portable. I actually watched the podcast awards using it.
Hey, thanks. Thanks for watching it.
Yeah.
We lost. Riveting. We lost. But we made the final.
We got to see it in real time.
We got to see it in real time. We made the top 10. So, yay. Thanks for watching. You got another one?
Vote more often.
Vote more often next time, damn it.
It's from Junebug. She says, Rise of the Fellowship is streaming on Netflix. Been wanting to see it since your interview. Did everyone already know this? I didn't.
Did not. I
did not.
I saw it when you mentioned it, so thanks for letting us know. And that's good. Let us know if you liked it.
I believe she likes to be referred to as J-Bug 5.
I don't care. You throw out a name called Junebug, I'm calling you Junebug.
All right, Scotty.
We've got one from D.A. Cheney. She says, hope you're ready. I listened to your Ho Awards on Friday. Here is a list of my answers to your categories. Best Dude, Tom Hiddleston from Thor 2. Best Chick, TV, Jessica Lange, American Horror Story, Coven. Kathy Bates and Angela Bassett are excellent honorable mentions.
Hey, she don't get honorable mentions if we don't get honorable mentions.
She's a listener. She's more important than you.
Best Chick for a movie, she put, is it Mana or Mana? Mana Ishida. She played Meku as a child in Pacific Rim. I'm sure, Maku. I'm sure there are more I could choose, but this girl really made me feel something watching her short scenes in the movie. Best Supporting Role, Jake Gyllenhaal in Prisoners. He was really good in that, with his facial twitches and stuff. Because of this role, I actually went back and looked at his other movies. I didn't care about him as an actor previously. Best Badass for me, and because it's most recent, Stephen Amell, who plays Oliver Queen in Arrow. I have been impressed with how much I've been drawn into that show because of him.
And by the way, we are adding TV to the whole awards for next year. We'll have them combined.
Favorite stunt work, Orlando Bloom in The Hobbit Part 2. The barrel scene was great, but Bloom hopping around on the hobbits was excellent and fun. What the Hell Just Happened, I agree with Justin, Pacific Rim. Best techie item, for me, I have a lot of things I enjoy throughout the year, but the only new product I can think of that isn't a new console is the Chromecast. While it's not always necessary to have, it's nice when something comes up that you want to broadcast from the web, phone, or laptop to the TV. I was able to watch the 1970s The Hobbit on YouTube using Chromecast.
Nice.
11, must have a sequel, Pacific Rim. And 12, best small film of what I've seen, I agree with Byzantium. Most anticipated.
Me and D.H. Ainey are like this. And I'm crossing my fingers like peas and carrots.
And you're still the pinky, but go ahead.
And her most anticipated, Guardians of the Galaxy and The Hobbit Part 3. Top 5 movies of 2013, The Hobbit Part 2, Pacific Rim, Thor 2, Insidious 2, and Star Trek Into Darkness. Honorable mentions go to Gravity and World War Z.
Insidious 2? Really, D.A.? Come on now.
Watched it, Reese, a couple days ago. I thought it was better than the first one.
Well, okay. Hey, everybody's got an opinion. That's what I'm saying. Craig Schermerhorn, best soundtrack ever, The Big Chill. Check it out, top to bottom. Keep up the great work, guys. Thank you, Craig. We appreciate it. Thank you, Craig. Tammy said,
what the fuck?
Tammy said, Happy New Year to my favorite hoes. Let the geekgasms continue in 2014. I'm a hoe. Thank you for that. That's very sweet. And we hope we continue to provide great podcasting service to all our listeners in 2014. You can find us on thehollywoodoutsider.com. You can tweet us at h_outsider, facebook.com/thehollywoodoutsider. Text us or leave us a message at 818-814-6426. What? I said that too fast. That would be 814. Nope, it's not. It's 818-814-6426. We are all so tired. Our email is feedback@thehollywoodoutsider.com. Listen and subscribe on iTunes. Listen on your Stitcher Radio app or through our RSS feed. Remember to stay through the credits for outtakes if I didn't say that. That's going to do it for this episode of The Hollywood Outsider. It's a little longer because these bitches don't listen to the format. They always want to add some shit. But it's our first one back, so that happens. Thanks to Justin, Brian, and Scotty for being here.
No worries,
man. You're welcome.
Yeah.
And remember, guys, the next time you go to a theater and wait 20 goddamn minutes, buy popcorn.
Just, it'll get cold.
It will.
Benedict Cumberbatch.
Really? You're going to keep it going for the whole year?
Start it out right, baby.
Take care, guys.
Guys, I saw a little person at the gym today.
You mean a midget?
Oh, I didn't know. Is it wrong to say midget?
It doesn't offend me. I'm 6 foot tall.
I've never seen one at the.
You've never seen a midget
at the gym?
They work out too.
Well, yeah, he's got to look good for his leprechaun conventions. Sorry.
If I go to the gym, I'm going because I want to look good naked. I mean, bottom line, the health aspect of it
really,
is
really
the health aspect is like a byproduct. It's like, you know, that's cool. It happens, but
so when are you going to achieve that? Because I've known you going to the gym for a while, and
it's been a week, man. Give me some slack.
I'm just saying.
Now, exactly what gym equipment works on that face?
I don't know what you would classify it as girlfriend mode because it's super, super simplistic. But
are you calling my wife dumb?
No.
Is that what you just said?
Not at all. I'm
Brian,
just saying
is that what he said?
Yes. Calling her stupid.
Well, I can't decide if it because it's
Scott.
It,
you're such an asshole.
Like basically, the
just gonna keep going.
Ellen Page character.
I'm just gonna
run over that elephant, huh? Names for... just back the truck up. I don't think that's
woodchuck chucking wood chuck chuck.
How much wood would a woodchuck wood? Oh, fuck.
How much wood would a woodchuck chuck if a woodchuck?
How much wood would a woodchuck fuck if a woodchuck could fuck wood? I've never heard that one.
Lots, a lot.
You were basically asking for that one, really.
Oh, I didn't know we were waiting to get started. I'm sorry.
Yes, you did.
Can't prove it.
What?
Sorry.
Jesus Christ. Why do I feel like I'm in one of those commercials where they're trying every button?
This warm shade of blur. Sorry.
This is the Hollywood. I should just go back to bed.